Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. I am back. Had a wonderful, I guess, wedding, vacation, whatever you want to call it. It was a wedding, but whatever. Technically a two-week vacation. Jace just walking in. Did you miss me at all?
You could say that.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Are you fonder of me now?
It's usually why I don't show up much, because that way you'll be fonder of me.
Did you show up the 2 weeks I was gone? Hopefully, you and James?
I did, except for one day.
Oh, did you had a medical thing one day,
yeah,
didn't
you? Yeah, I had a doctor appointment down the city, so that was the only day that I wasn't here. But other than that, yes, I was here every day.
I missed your voice. I did. I really did.
That's because we're fun.
I know. I know. You're my people.
Exactly.
Fun, little different.
Yeah.
Well, James more so than you, but he's my kind of guy.
Yeah. It's because I'm not allowed to have fun anymore. You look like you got some sun, a little bit?
No, I'm about as tan as I was. Not really.
Nah, you're tanner.
That's from on the golf course all summer long.
No, it's not. It's from actually being on the beach.
I have been showing you this tan line I have.
It is more pronounced now. I'm telling you right now.
Maybe.
You got more sun while you were over there.
Maybe I look refreshed. Maybe that's it.
Ah.
And you look worn down.
I'm worn down, and I'm just, you know.
That was the first time in my entire career I've ever taken a 2 week vacation, if that's what you want to call it.
Well, it was a vacation. I mean, I know that there was a wedding you guys had to kind of prep for and everything, and then, you know, you did get to go back over and see where Milos is from and everything.
Spend time with his family. So yeah, it was. Yeah, I guess vacation. I've never taken 2 weeks ever.
Gosh, have I taken 2 weeks at a time? I probably have before.
You have? Mm-hmm.
I think when it was my parents' 45th wedding anniversary, we had a big family trip together. I probably took 2 weeks off there because we were gone down to Mexico for like 8 or 9 days or something crazy like that. So I think I have in the past, but it hasn't been that often.
I don't think I'll ever take a 2 week vacation. That's a long time.
I don't know if I'll ever have that much time saved up to take 2 weeks off in a row. It might be involuntary.
Not in this career, probably.
No,
not,
probably not. No.
Yeah. Time accumulates, but yeah, I still have more time left this year.
But you're not taking any of it.
No. Yes, I will.
No,
but
you
I'm
won't.
Not going to take
no.
2 weeks in a row.
No. Maybe you'll take an afternoon off.
A day here. A day there.
No, just afternoons.
I don't work afternoons.
Exactly. That's why you can take those days off.
All right. Well, I won't take time off for a while. How about
Thank
that?
Goodness.
But I have to use it before the end of the year.
Yeah, I know.
Mostly clear today, or right now, 62 degrees. Winds are out of the south-southwest, 5 miles an hour. We're looking for partly to mostly sunny skies today, with a high right around 85. Fargo's 2026 city budget is under public scrutiny. At Monday's public hearing, the commission presented a balanced $140 million budget. Two residents raised concerns, especially over proposed cuts to MAT bus funding. Christopher Cohen warned the move would wreck mass transit and urged broader pain sharing, including cuts to grants for other programs. Resident Glenn Knudsen also voiced concerns about how the city addresses needs. The commission took no action. The final adoption is set for September 29th. Clay County authorities have arrested a juvenile accused of making a school-related threat. Sheriff Mark Emting says the male made the threat to a group of friends regarding the Dilworth, Glynn, and Felton schools. He was arrested and taken to juvenile detention. A man was arrested accused of punching another man in the head repeatedly during an assault at a homeless shelter in Fargo this weekend. Authorities say Timmy Linderman was caught on camera attacking another man and pinning him to the ground at the New Life Center. Linderman denied committing the assault and is facing charges. Vice President J.D. Vance guest hosted the Charlie Kirk Show, which airs daily on our sister station, The Flag, days after the conservative activist was shot and killed during a speaking event in Utah. Vance, who broadcast from the White House, said the last several days have been extremely hard. Vance says Kirk showed college students they could be courageous and bold in speaking their minds. A former Grand Forks County correctional officer is pleading not guilty to phone smuggling allegations. 27-year-old Juan Ortiz Lopez was arrested June 16th after the Grand Forks County Sheriff's Office accused him of providing illegal contraband to inmates. He told investigators he gave nicotine pouches to an inmate, then allegedly admitted to providing a cell phone to an inmate. He was charged with felony delivery of an electronic device and faces up to 5 years in prison. North Dakota will likely set a new record for the total number of tornadoes statewide in a single calendar year. Sunday's severe weather included at least 19 confirmed tornadoes. The recent twisters brought the state's total to 58 this year. The Weather Service, however, is still finalizing the official number. Previous record of tornadoes in a single year was in 1991. There were 61 confirmed twisters. No injuries or deaths have been reported related to Sunday storms. A strike including more than 1,400 union workers at four University of Minnesota campuses, including Crookston, is over. Teamsters in the university system wrote in a statement that they put their differences aside and have come to a resolution. During the strike, organizers of the Farm Aid concert in Minneapolis scheduled for Saturday said their artist, production team, and partners would not cross the picket line. A major name in transportation and space is headed to North Dakota next month. Senator Kevin Cramer says Sean Duffy, the U.S. Transportation Secretary and acting head of NASA, will speak at the Unmanned Aircraft System Summit in Grand Forks on October 14th. A former University of South Dakota professor's firing is sparking debate over free speech. Michael Hook was put on leave and is being terminated after a Facebook post about Charlie Kirk's assassination. He called Kirk a hate-spreading Nazi. Board of Regents says Hook violated its policy on unprofessional conduct, but critics argue the move tramples on the First Amendment. Students and faculty are calling for his return with a petition to reinstatement. It's already gathered more than 4,000 signatures. Lawmakers gathered at the Minnesota Capitol yesterday following a deadly shooting at a Minneapolis church school that left two children dead and several others hurt. DFL Senator Ron Latz condemned the political violence. Republican Senator Jeff Howe recalled his son surviving a school shooting in Ricori nearly 20 years ago. A proposal to ban assault weapons was heard, but no votes were taken. And students will return to Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis today, that following that mass deadly shooting. 5:07. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Well, the J.J. McCarthy era is off to a rocky start. Yeah. After a fantastic week one come-from-behind win, Atlanta pretty much didn't let the Vikings really do anything offensively. And during that game on Sunday night, J.J. Suffered a high ankle sprain in their loss, 22-6 to Atlanta. In the game, he took 11 hits in dropbacks and was sacked six times. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported the Vikings are expecting McCarthy to miss 2 to 4 weeks while recovering from the injury. Former NDSU Bison quarterback Carson Wentz is expected to start for Minnesota in his absence. Wentz is a 10-year veteran who is on his sixth team over the past six seasons. Rookie Max Brosmer is currently expected to serve as the backup for the time being. Go with a little bit more experience there.
Oh, good for Carson Wentz.
Yeah. James, you can easily ask James. The Vikings offensive line is pretty banged up right now as well. So, you know, maybe what there was a chance that JJ could get out there and play, but it's not the best idea for you to run what in all intents and purposes a rookie quarterback out there with a bad offensive line right. in the NFL, because if you go all the way back to the Houston Texans when they started, David Carr was their top draft pick and he was their starting quarterback, and they did not have a very good offensive line. And we kind of joke about it as sports fans, but I think the dude basically had PTSD when it came to trying to drop back and throw a pass. So you don't really want to get your young quarterback a case of the yips and not be able to right. read the defense and do what he's supposed to do. Vikings are going to host the Cincinnati Bengals, who lost their starting quarterback, Joe Burrow, to a toe injury last Sunday. So that will be at noon. Game coverage is going to be on CBS, so obviously check your local listings. And then after that game against Cincinnati, Vikings are going to be in Europe for a couple weeks because they'll be playing week four and week five. They'll play in Dublin, Ireland on Sunday, September 28th, and London, England on Sunday, October 5th. So if you're a huge Vikings fan, I certainly hope you didn't spend money on a trip to Chicago when you could go to Dublin and London and make a whole European vacation out of it.
There will be people that do that.
I know there will be. Minnesota Twins, they rode a 5-run seventh inning to a 7-0 victory over the New York Yankees Monday night. Did I read that right? They beat the Yankees? Simeon Woods Richardson struck out 11 batters over 6 scoreless innings, earning the win. Cody Funderburk, Travis Adams, and Pearson Ohl each tossed a shutout inning in relief. Twins and Yankees will continue their series tonight with first pitch scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Zebby Matthews is scheduled to be the starter for the Twins. Top seed Minnesota Lynx are taking on the Golden State Valkyries, the 8 seed. Game 2 will be Wednesday at Golden State. It'll be coverage will be available at 9 p.m. on ESPN, which is it's after Bonnie and I go to bed. Lynx lead the best of 3 series, 1 game done. They can close this one out and get ready for the semifinals if they win on Wednesday. Tonight we're going to have a couple games in the WNBA playoffs. 6-seeded Indiana Fever is at the 3-seed Atlanta Dream. Game is at 6:30 p.m. Atlanta leads that series 1-0. And then the nightcap tonight, the 7-seed Seattle Storm take on the Las Vegas Aces. Vegas won that first game. Game coverage will start at 8:30 p.m. on ESPN. And then, of course, Wednesday, as I said, Golden State, Minnesota, that's the late game. The early game will be New York and Phoenix at 7 p.m. This week on our family of stations, over on our sister station, The Flag, Friday, Shanley versus Minot should be a really good game. Kickoff at 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. And then Saturday, we'll be back over in Moorhead as the Dragons host Wayne State College. 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff. We'll get you all the coverage for that. Exciting season so far for the Dragons. So they look to continue their winning ways on Saturday. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, we're going to have volleyball. West Fargo Horace will take on West Fargo High, 7 p.m. We'll be first served. James and I on the call for that one. Friday, right here on DAY, Larry Knutson will have your Moorhead Spuds taking on Wyzetta. 6 p.m. is the kickoff, so tune in at 6 for that coverage. Saturday, Concordia Cobbers will be traveling to, is that the cities, to take on St. Olaf?
Yes.
1 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call. And tonight, you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself to get you caught up in the wide, wide world of sports.
So good. Lots of stuff happened. I love this time of year with all the sports. When you brought up the Twins, it's just like, oh, they're still playing. I forgot all about them.
Yeah. I think I was literally going to ask James yesterday, like, did the Twins actually play or not? And then I can't remember what they did if they had a night off, but
a lot of people gave up on them.
Well, that's because they're out of the playoffs. Maybe. They traded everybody away, whatever. I mean, that's why I was just like, really? They beat the Yankees now? 7-0? That doesn't even make any sense. Mm-hmm. You're basically the St. Paul State's AAA squad, and you're beating the Yankees. Okay, whatever.
Some games.
Do your thing, Twins. Make no sense.
There you go. All right, partly to mostly sunny. 85 for our high temp today with winds of the west-southwest 5 to 10. 60 for our overnight low. Tomorrow, another nice day, partly sunny, slight chance of showers, 80 for the high. For those of you who like it cooler, the cooler weather is coming. Mostly cloudy, cooler, good chance of showers and or thunder showers on Thursday, 70 for the high. East-northeast winds 10 to 15, 48 our overnight low. And Friday through Sunday, continued cool, chance of showers both Friday and Saturday, highs right around 70 degrees, give or take a couple degrees one way or another. Mostly clear right now. We have 62 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the south southwest, 5 miles an hour. It is 5:13. We're going to get you updated here on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:19, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you, the other characters, will be floating in the next 40 minutes or so, something along that line. Glad to be back. You mentioned sleep and games and the timing of them. When I was gone for 2 weeks overseas in Greece and Serbia, my sleep schedule did not flip. I was up every single night until like 2:33 in the morning. And my son-in-law and daughter said, well, that's 6:30 p.m., 7 p.m. our time. And that's when I go to bed. Mm-hmm. So I never...
You never got out of your sleep schedule?
Nope, which is nice because then I got back here and it's just
whatever.
Like, yep, I got sleepy about 6:30. I managed to start watching the Vikings game, but I didn't last very long. So, 6:30, 7:30, the past several days I've been sleeping.
There's some sports director that's already here right now because his sleep schedule's been messed up for the last 2 weeks.
He's been here, for quite a while already.
Well, because he said that once he got back home last night, probably around 6:37, that he was either going to eat and stay up and watch the football games on Monday night, or he was going to crash right away, and then he'd be up in the middle of the night. So I'm assuming that he... hopefully he finished eating and then fell asleep, and then he was out until he woke up this morning at like probably 3:30 or 3 in the morning.
You both look like you aged since I saw you last.
Because I let my facial hair grow in. It's a lot grayer than it used to be.
James is like, he's got that crazy raccoon look. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. It's like, I was like that for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Then my phone kind of died on me, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't think it didn't really die, but I was in the Aegean Sea with my baby granddaughter because everybody else went on a boat cruise and the baby wasn't allowed, so I watched her for the day. And so you don't go in deep. I mean, I was maybe up to my calves in water with her or whatever, but I had a pocket on my shorts that I was wearing. And so my legs and my phone did not get in the water, but then, I pick her up, wrap her in a towel, and I had her on my hip.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's either water or a foreign material in there. We put it in rice. It's been 10 days. I think what it is it probably got sand in there from the beach.
Maybe,
so I can't plug in a charging port.
Oh.
And I didn't want to buy a wireless thing because they've got a different... plug current, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I got back here, I ended up getting a wireless charger. So now I can put my phone in the wireless charger. But the problem is I can't use a cord, which my phone
charges
is
faster.
My phone's only like 3 months old. So I might have to go to one of those like fix and repair type places.
Yeah, I wonder if there's...
See if there's sand. I'm guessing a grain of sand is... It can't be water.
No.
10 days later, it cannot be water.
The thing with phones these days, they are usually water resistant. So even if you drop it in the water, it's going to be fine.
And it never got like in contact with water other than holding the baby on my hip.
You might want to just take, like, if you got a magnifying glass, be able to try and look in there and see if there's something.
Digging in there with like... toothpicks and Q-tips and cards and
if you got a little bit of rubbing alcohol or something like that,
and it works, and it said to blow a cold air in there, so I put a fan on it for a while, and then my son-in-law decides to get the hot hair dryer, which is a no-no. An engineer told me you're not really supposed to blow in the charging port because you can blow out the motherboard inside there. So I'm trying to be careful about it, but I mean, I have a wireless charger, it charges now, but I might just have to go in and have them clean it or something.
I think it can't be water. No, I don't think it's water. I mean, there's got to be some reason why the charger's not connecting and working properly.
And Zara decided that she had to eat sand. I was trying to take pictures of her because it's her and Grandma Day on the beach, you know. So trying to take pictures. How long does it take you to get set up for a picture? Maybe a second or two. All of a sudden, whoosh, a big scoop of sand in her mouth. So it's like, I'm trying to dig all this. Well, you had to eat a bushel of dirt before you die, my dad always told us.
I think that's probably true.
So my granddad ever had her first taste of sand. Yeah. She ate quite
good
a bit.
Good thing those are her baby teeth. You know, just grind them down with that sand.
I'm digging it out. Yeah. And she's trying to eat rocks. And she was a lot of work that day, but Grandma survived. We had fun. Grandma Zara Day, and she got to swim in the Aegean Sea. So how cool was that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly clear. We have 62 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south-southwest 5 miles an hour. Question of the morn. What is the worst movie you have ever seen, and did you finish it? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 527, good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. I am back. Jace Denman is here. Big Game James McCarty in the house. He'll be joining us coming up about 6:10. Big Game, Dean Wysocki, chief meteorologist, will be joining us coming up at 6. And Ken Duffy with your WDAY radio news coming up at the top of the hour. Mostly clear. We have 62 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southwest, 5 miles an hour. We're looking for a high around 85 today, partly to mostly sunny. 80 tomorrow with a slight chance of showers, and then a cool-off comes Thursday through Sunday. High is only right around 70 degrees. There's a chance of showers and or thunder showers Thursday and as well as Friday and Saturday showers, maybe even some thunder showers. I did notice that the leaves are starting to turn just a little bit around here.
Yeah, I think...
you know, when you leave for 2 weeks and you come back, you notice changes?
It's one of those things, like when you... I mean, it's like my folks. Like, I mean, I get to see them every other month or so. And when there's a significant change, like you cut your hair or if you gain or lose weight or whatever, then it's more noticeable. You're around someone day in and day out, then it's not quite as noticeable. But I have noticed some of more of the leaves in our neighborhood starting to fall. Even our little boulevard tree that's... You know, it's doing well. It's just not huge or anything. But, I mean, I noticed that one's starting to shed some leaves this week. So
our lawn's a little bit brownish in spots. So it must have been fairly dry.
It's been fairly dry. And I know that, like, it – you know, my next door neighbor, since they got the rider, they just go out and they mow their yard and our yard and sometimes the next door neighbor's yard as well. And I did notice because that one has been – it's cut more often. And so, yeah, that looks a little bit browner than the backyard, but at the same time, the spots that get more shade in my backyard, right to the first 4 or 5 feet off the patio, the grass along the fence lines, etc., they get more shade. Those are long and could be trimmed up, but there's a spot kind of towards the middle of my backyard that it doesn't really look like you really need to mow it because the precipitation has kind of slowed up recently, but the later this week, if we get some more rain and it's still obviously in the 70s, et cetera, I mean, that'll perk back up, right? You know, one more time before fall.
We've got Mr. Kinsler in Lawn and Garden Radio, 7:10 Thursday. I wonder, too, do you think like right now, or maybe it's not yet, but the growth of our lawns starts to slow down, or is that not until like maybe October? I don't know.
It depends on the temperature, I think. I mean, and Don can probably easily correct us, but I think right now, if the weather stays warm, we'll get another couple weeks of our grass grown and needing to be mowed. But once we finally flip that switch and it's cooler out and it's not quite the best growing conditions, mm-hmm. then I think it'll slow down. But it's got to be, you know, probably one of those things. Maybe it has to be where you're getting close or near to you know, frost at night or something like that, you know.
And isn't too far off.
No, it is not. That's why, I mean, I think we might have through the end of the month or something that we'll still be mowing yards. But, you know, if the weather stays warm enough, I mean, we could easily be into October mowing yards.
And I think now is getting to be the time if you want to do fall seeding.
Yeah.
I think it's about now. So we'll ask Don mm-hmm. Thursday when he's in. My flowers are kind of, nah. Yeah. My neighbor Katie did a good job. She did water mm-hmm. them for me and stuff. But it's just that time of year where you're hanging baskets and whatnot. Yeah. And they just start to look mm-hmm. a little raggedy, especially if you haven't been fertilizing them. All right, question of the morning. What is the worst movie you have ever watched, and did you finish it? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page, and it's going to vary from person to person. We mm-hmm. all like different things. My all-time worst movie, never finished it, couldn't stand it, gave it enough of a try, and I have friends that say it is their all-time favorite movie, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Did not get that. Was it Uma Thurman and John Travolta,
yep.
I think?
It was a Quentin Tarantino movie.
And see, that's the thing. He does mm-hmm. weird stuff.
He does.
And I'm not really a fan of his.
And sometimes I believe Quentin is the director that will do stuff kind of out of order. Instead of going, you know, beginning to end, there'll be, you know, the middle part basically, then you flash back to the beginning, and then you kind of do the beginning part, and then all of a sudden you're in the last third of the movie, and you're kind of going from what was the first third. So sometimes he likes to switch up and do stuff like that, but... Pulp Fiction, it was a bit strange, but I mean, I didn't mind it, you know, I mean, but it's not for everybody
because
there was these other kind of, I don't know, it was almost like it's a video game. There's different side quests you have to go do or something to get back to the main story, but,
like drugs in there and violence.
Yeah. There was like, I can't remember if it was Ving Rhames was getting beat up or something. And Bruce Willis was a former boxer that was doing something. It was some weird things to it, and so I mean it's a, what would you say, a very niche audience for that.
My
to
friend
some
Brad, it's his favorite movie mm-hmm. of all time. It's like, I don't get it. I think I tried to watch it even a second time. It's just like, yeah, no.
Well, and that goes for me because this is not the worst movie of all time. I will say that. But one of my least favorite movies of all time is Dirty Dancing.
I love that. But it's not your thing, right?
It is not my thing. I mean, we watched the movie. I mean, the soundtrack had some good songs on it and stuff. But, you know, we went to the movie. We got to see it for free in Bryant, South Dakota, at our little movie theater over there. And I just did not like it. And
I get it if it's not your thing. Yeah,
because it just, I mean, there's certain movies that are just, they're so cliche, like, oh, well, now the guy's going to come back and realize that the nerd girl that took off her glasses is now suddenly hot, that she's the one, or I mean, whatever the case is. There's certain TV shows and movie things that they do that you can just see it coming a mile away.
You can probably call it more of a chick flick, and a lot of us women like stuff.
It is,
like
and
that.
I really, really don't like it, but it's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
What's the worst?
You can Google it. It's a movie called No Retreat, No Surrender, and it's a fighter or whatever, and he is trained by, like, supposedly, like, the ghost of Bruce Lee or something stupid, and the quintessential scene in it is towards the end when he's in the big fight match or whatever, and he's getting beat, and his friend looks at him in the ring, you know, through the ropes or whatever, and he just yells at him, "No retreat, no surrender." And then he gets up and kicks the other dude's butt and wins the fight. It was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And I saw it in, I don't know, high school, college age. I don't remember if it was like on HBO at night sometime. And I just, and you end up watching the whole thing. But it was awful. And I don't even know who was in it.
I had to Google. It's like, what movie is this? Crash put down the worst movie he's ever watched, and he didn't finish it, was Kazam. I'm like, what's that?
I am Kazam.
That was Shaq.
Shaquille. I am Kazam.
I don't think I ever watched it, but probably because he's not an actor, so it was really hokey, probably.
It is, and it was a kid's movie. So there's that.
Maybe he was trying to watch it with the grandkids.
The funny thing about Kazam is that people get that movie confused. Like, there's this whole, like, what do you call it, the Mandela effect or whatever, where they think that Sinbad is the character in that movie, and it was called Shazam. And it's not. It was Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal.
I remember Shazam, but Kazam I did not know, so I had to Google it. Well, and then
Shazam is a superhero movie, so that's completely different.
Right.
But
there's a lot of people that don't like the slasher movies, say Saw and Scream. Dave in Grand Rapids says he banned the movies and its sequels in his house, and he means it.
I watched, the very first Saw movie was...
No way.
Was really pretty well done, because the ending of it, you're like, really? But once you found out how the first one ended, if you caught part of the other one, because there was one of the other ones that I saw the majority of, I think I probably picked it up halfway through or something, and watched it to the end, and it was kind of like the same thing. Like, if you quote-unquote answer the bad guy's questions and follow the instructions, everything turns out fine. But you don't do that, then something bad happens. Because in this one movie I watched, I can't remember if it was... Donnie Wahlberg was in it, and he was a cop, and he's trying to find, I don't remember if it was his kid or somebody else's kid, and he goes off and tries to find him. When if he would have followed the bad guy's instructions and done it to the end, when the time was up, something unlocked, and the kid or the person that was missing was wherever they were locked up, it unlocked, and they were safe. So it's like the bad guy plays on the person's fears and their guilt and everything, and so they go and do something. It makes this whole scene. And
I've never seen a Saw movie, but aren't they incredibly gory?
They can be, because some people that have done something wrong, this person felt the need to get retribution for whoever they wronged, and there would be some sort of weird contraption. I mean, one of the goriest ones to me, that off the top of my head, because I haven't seen all of them, was that the person had a key to get out of this trap, but the problem was the key, somehow the bad guy stuck it behind his eyeball, so you had to like somehow go there to get it and get it out to get out of the trap. And then, of course, they're freaked out about that, so they don't do it, and then they die.
I know my niece and her dad were obsessed with the Saw movies, and you're probably going back, 15, 20 years?
However, at least, long,
Al was in high school back then. Now she's in her mid-30s, but they went to at least four or five of them. They just thought they were amazing.
Well, there are so many movies these days that are, they're labeled as horror movies, but they are more, in fact, the gore slash slasher movies. They are just trying to get your stomach curdling, in a sense, rather than any... Because, I think a true horror movie is more, like, psychological. Like, what is something that scares
like
people?
I kind of like psychological thrillers. I just don't like... And it's fine if there's a killing or a death, but I just don't like chainsawing, gory, just, bloody...
Yeah, because the person always goes the wrong direction and is, killed by the supernatural bad guy or whatever, and you're just like, well, why would you go back there? Why wouldn't you just run away and escape or whatever? So, it's always done. It's like that commercial they made. It's like, hey, let's run. Look, there's a running car. We can get it and run away. No, let's go hide behind this barn full of chainsaws. And the bad guy in the commercial just rolls his eyes like, okay, whatever.
What's the worst movie you've ever watched, and did you finish it? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. You can drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. That is our question of the morn. 538, mostly clear, 62 degrees. We're going to get your national news and sports in now from ABC. That's me. I'll be all of your guys' brown-eyed girl.
Easy now.
544.
Got to play hard to get.
Morning. Okay. Tuesday morning, 544. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to me, I guess. It's good to be back. I love my job. I love my normal routine, and back into the normal routine. So it's all good here. Mostly clear, 62 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. We are looking for a high temp today around 85 with partly to mostly sunny skies. I see they got the work done on 32nd Avenue South in Fargo, too. Construction is wrapped up there. There's one more section, I think, that next year they have to work on. But it's always good when road construction projects are wrapping up and you can kind of take your normal routes again, whatever they should be.
Well, we had there's a stretch around, I want to say, Fergus that was like, I don't know, it had to be at least 10 to 15 miles. There was two other ones. One was 1 mile, one was 3 miles on the way down to the cities on 94. And it's one of those ones where they're working on one side of the road, so it shifts.
Yeah.
One side of the traffic has to shift to the other side, and it's just, there's no passing it, et cetera, et cetera. Speed limit's only like 60 then. And you're just like, I just want to get home.
Yeah.
I mean, after a day down in the cities doing doctor stuff, you're just like, can we just get back? And yeah. you get this 15 or it was at least 10 to 15 miles. Maybe it was less. It felt like it was 20 to 30, but.
I don't know if there's a law that governs how long construction zones can be, but I know I've been through some very long ones yeah. that I want to say like maybe 27 miles over the mm-hmm. years, not yeah. recently, but over the past
yeah,
year. So I don't know if there is a zone limit or not.
I wouldn't think so, but I mean, you know, I know that on 29, all the years going up and down 29, either going
yeah.
south down to Vermilion or going from Fargo down to Watertown.
That was a lot of years of construction, you know, like 6 years maybe.
They would do like these big, like, I don't know, 6 foot chunks they would cut out and they right. would replace those rather right. than replacing a whole long section. But I mean, it seemed like there would be so much of it and it was just like every summer. And I realize up here you've got maybe early to mid spring when you can finally get out there and get started
May
and you can
beginning of October.
And you can work until October depending on the mm-hmm. weather. So I mean, just hurry up and get it done so we can be done for
and
the season.
They will, because they have contracts and they have construction
yep.
deadlines, and for mm-hmm. every day over the deadline it costs the contractors
yeah.
a lot of money. So normally in terms of what I know from doing news here over the years is normally it's like that first week of October
mm-hmm.
most projects will wrap
yeah.
up. So hopefully just another couple of weeks here, and say that I-94 one that
yep.
we've been dealing with between Fargo and Moorhead, that's a big one, but there's other ones throughout town and throughout the region. Hopefully within the next 2-3 weeks here, construction will wrap up
yes.
as we head into fall. And
that would be preferable.
Know what happens after that.
Yeah.
All right, question of the morning. What is the worst movie you ever watched, and did you finish it? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Barb says, and I chuckled because I love this movie. I thought it was funny. 40-year-old virgin. She
oh,
did
yeah,
not finish
funny.
It. Steve Carell.
Yeah, I mean, stupid humor movies
yeah.
are, that's my wheelhouse. I mean,
and
like,
that might not be her.
No, like one of the favorite movies my wife and I have together is Dumb and Dumber. And that is just
it
an,
is dumb,
and
but
is actually
I don't mind
dumb.
That.
It's an actually a very dumb movie, but just so many of the scenes and the lines from it, you know, we can quote to each other or whatever. I mean, it's just one of those things that we really enjoy it. But mm-hmm. you know, there's certain. I mean, it depends on what your type of movie
yep.
is. Maybe your type of movie is just, you know, the quote unquote chick flicks, or maybe it's westerns, or maybe it's action
yep.
movies, or maybe it's comedies, and it's. You know, there's different ranges of comedies. There's just slapstick comedy. There's, you know, dry humor. There's the dark comedy, which a lot of times I don't really find a ton of enjoyment in it, because I don't think the ones that have the dark humor in it, I don't quite get that as much as other people do.
Lisa says, and I thought this movie was even older than it is.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that she couldn't stand, didn't finish it, Napoleon Dynamite.
That is a unique one, and once you get through it and you kind of move on to the phase where you're quoting scenes from it
and like the
Uncle Rico and the
Vote for Pedro.
Yeah, I mean, and just Napoleon Dynamite, the character
is dancing.
Because you watch the movie and you're like, is this set in the 1980s or is this place in Idaho? Are
See,
they just really, really out of touch? Because I know that growing up in South Dakota, some of the nationwide trends for style of dress and things like that, it took a while to get to my hometown.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're just behind the times or if it was set in the 80s. I could
what
not
year
figure
do you
that
think
out.
That movie came, I thought it was older. What year do you think that movie
that
came
it came out?
Out?
I mean, it probably came out, I don't know, maybe early 2000s?
Yeah, 2004. I was thinking mm-hmm. maybe it was early 90s or something.
Well, it was,
I know people that quote yeah? lines from that movie. Mm-hmm. They dance like he dances. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I rewatched it, or I tried to rewatch it maybe, I don't know, 4 or 6
Are you trying to ruin
ago.
My life, make me look like a freaking idiot?
That's exactly it. I tried to watch it again because I'm
mm-hmm.
like, is it as funny? I'm like, I think I watched it the first time in
yeah.
its entirety. And it's like, is it really that funny? So I went back. It's like, I didn't last like maybe halfway through the movie,
I just think that movie is dumb, but it's got like little clips in it, like, you know, his brother Kip. Don't be mad at me, Napoleon, for talking
yeah.
to hot babes online all day.
And that I think that guy, the main guy, I don't think he's John Hader.
Yeah, John Hader.
Is he still acting? I thought yeah. he went on to do some other stuff, different stuff.
He's been in some stuff. I know that like after Napoleon Dynamite had come out in 2004, I don't remember what year it was, but he did a comedy with Will Ferrell called Blades of Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were the first male-male couple to do the, I don't know what you call it, the couples figure skating or whatever.
Oh, funny.
And so then they had the guy that was, Craig T. Nelson was their coach or whatever. So it was a stupid humor one as well, but I remember him being in that, and I think he's been in a few things here or there.
I thought he was one of those guys that he was in this, it was a big hit, made money, and then he went off to do something else. But mm-hmm. no, it says he's an actor, filmmaker, and voice actor. He's been in numerous movies and TV shows.
I could see him being a voice actor. I think, you know, quite honestly, I think being a voice actor would be a ton of fun.
You could do that. You're very good at that.
Yeah. I need someone in the industry to help me with that.
I had to Google a few more of these movies. Mm-hmm. Janet says the worst movie she's ever watched. She did not finish it. Wrong Turn. It's another one.
Oh, it's another horror slash one. Like, yeah. Because the premise of those movies, I swear it just irritates me because, yeah, you take a wrong turn. Hey, can we find some help? And oh, no, you're stuck here. You need to spend the night. And then all of a sudden some slasher, you know, does whatever.
I don't think I saw that, but I did Google it.
We watched a movie. So are you familiar with the Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Yeah.
So when I got home from the hospital and we were looking for something to watch because we were all caught up on our shows and things like that, we watched – you can find those on – I don't remember if it was on Netflix or Amazon Prime. You can watch – you know, they're not the little like TV show ones. They're like an hour and a half long episodes where they do like one whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one because they take bad movies and they make fun of them while they're sitting and make comments about them. And there was one that was kind of a wrong turnish where they – this family ends up supposedly going to this retreat, this spa or whatever, and they end up in some weird dude's place. And then, you know, the wife is, you know, taken from him and the husband dies or whatever. It's really, really stupid or whatever. But that's, to me, I almost equate Wrong Turn and movies like that with this one. I'd have to look up that one. It was a really, really dumb movie they made fun of.
Another one, Mark says that worst movie ever, didn't finish it, was Mother. I had to Google that. Says it was absolutely horrible.
That's another horror movie, isn't it?
They label, horror mystery. Young woman spends her days renovating a Victorian mansion. She lives in it with her husband in the countryside. A stranger knocks on the door one night. He becomes an unexpected guest in their home.
I bet.
Later, his wife and two children also arrive and make themselves welcome. Terror soon strikes when the beleaguered wife tries to figure out why her husband is so seemingly friendly and accommodating to everyone but her. It doesn't sound very good. I've not seen
it. It sounds like that's time of the month. That's what's happened.
Okay.
Why are you so nice to them? Why did you let me?
I have not seen this with Leonardo DiCaprio. Justine says Revolutionary Road. She didn't finish it. She thought it was awful. Did you see that?
I'm not familiar with that one. I thought she was going to say something like Inception because that one was that one you had to try. That was hard to figure out.
The Revolutionary 2008. Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet always see themselves as far removed from the conventionality of suburbia. Yet that's exactly what creeps in on them when they buy a house in Connecticut. He toils 10 hours a day in a job he hates. Well, she, as a 1950s homemaker, yearns for fulfillment and passion. Rebelling against the torpor of their lives, the couple plan an escape. They may push them to their limits. That's probably okay that I didn't see
description, that
one
That description, I'm like, pass.
Hard pass.
You don't want to watch that one? It's got Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet in it. No. What's the next one on the list you might want to watch?
Yeah, thanks, Justine, for screening that for us. I won't watch that
hard
one
pass.
Either. I did catch up on a lot of... I saw some... Okay, so Janae texted me when I was gone and said, you need to watch Wrong Number, High School Stalker movie. And I remember this case. It was in Michigan where the mom of these two people, this boy and girl, essentially were being text message cyberstalking. Horrible messages that were coming. And the mom of the girl, she ended up getting arrested and charged.
Oh, I think, have they been doing memes or something about that recently?
Probably,
And I think I saw something. I'm like, well, that's pretty stupid.
So it was actually good. Yeah. And that was on Netflix. Yeah. And then I also watched the Charlie Sheen story or whatever. It was a two-part docuseries on him. That was worth watching, too. So if somebody's looking for something new to watch and you like real life stuff, which I do, whether crime or reality.
Charlie Sheen, he's
been a train wreck.
He's been a train wreck. But
I think
then,
he's been sober, according to the Netflix documentary, like 7 years now or something.
Yeah, but
like
I mean, he got back to being really popular when Two and a Half Men was going on. And then all of a sudden, it's the whole Tiger's Blood and, whatever. He was doing whatever he wanted. He was kind of, crazy.
Jay Thomas. Hey, Jay. Super Bad was super bad. He didn't finish it. Complete crap. In the words of Jay Thomas.
All I know is Superbad. That was the one with McLovin in it, right?
I don't know.
I think so. It was Seth. Was it Seth Rogen? No, yeah, not Seth Rogen. No, the other. No, it was the other guy.
It was written by Seth Rogen.
Yeah, but it's what's his face was in it.
And produced by Judd Apatow. I'm trying to see who was in
it. It's a heavy set dude. Yeah. Jonah Hill.
Is that? Yep, that's who it is.
Jonah Hill was the main one of the main characters in it.
That was a teen comedy from 2007.
Yeah, and I never really watched it because I think when I've seen parts of it or something like on TV or whatever, I'm like, meh. It didn't quite catch me. So
It doesn't look like my kind of movie either. No. 556, what's the worst movie you ever watched? Did you finish it? That's our question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. It is 557. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio on a Tuesday morning. I am back from my long vacation. Got the second daughter married off, so now we just have one left to go, but he's got to find a girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Come on, Logan.
And he had a birthday while we were gone, too. He's 23 years old now.
Else had a birthday, too, but whatever.
Didn't I wish you a happy birthday? Didn't I?
Yeah, via text message. He didn't say anything on the radio.
I had to do the same thing to Ronnie, too. I missed Ronnie's birthday. And
yeah, you owe Ronnie. And myself.
And then I didn't know what day it was or what time it was.
How rude!
Because my phone...
I thought we were close.
No, I was...
Jesus!
I was in a different time zone in a different country. And
unacceptable that you're just making excuses.
I think I hit Ronnie a day early. He goes, well, I guess it is... You know, Ronnie, I guess it is my birthday in other parts of the world. I'm like, yeah, Ronnie, I didn't want to be late to wish you a happy birthday.
That's all right. Other people were late in wishing me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to all of you, too, if I missed your birthday when I wasn't here for a
September's a big month for, like, a lot of my friends and stuff. I mean, I've got a lot of friends that have birthdays in September for some reason.
Yeah, I've got quite a few, too. It was my
right on that
niece's husband's
Thanksgiving
too.
To, you know, Christmas time, if you know what I'm saying. And parents are celebrating at that time back in the day.
A little cold. They had
a little cold,
you know, get a little closer or something like
that. Yeah, when you get older, then you realize that it's not exactly a 9-month thing. It's more of a 10-month thing. You're just like, oh, so it was the holiday time period. Yeah, okay.
6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:04, time now for a check on our forecast. Couple more warm days here. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here.
Yeah, I can't believe we've got snow in the forecast after 86 today. It wouldn't be for a month or so, but it's in the forecast eventually, right? Welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you.
It's good to be back.
I know Jace really missed you.
I know. Poor Jason James. It's such a busy season for the two of them. But right. I tried to do as much as I could ahead of time to kind of get
them
all
lined
up.
Boy, you were all over the place over there. Man.
Greece was absolutely
I was just going to. Was it? Yeah. Okay.
The best part was, well, the wedding, of course, but we rented ATVs, so we rode around the whole island of Milos, just checking out all the beautiful scenes.
Wow.
That was cool. Serbia.
No, the coolest part is Milos on Milos.
Yeah. Milos on, yes, exactly. We saw a lot of
stuff. Or son Milos on the island of Milos.
That's pretty
on Milos.
Well, he owns the island.
Yeah. He had,
does.
Has,
that's
you know,
why he's got money.
Yeah.
No, it was beautiful. We had a good time. Good. Flying, not so much fun, but I'm glad to be back home. I need my routine.
How long is the longest portion on a plane?
10.5 hours.
Oh.
That's long. And I maybe slept for a half hour.
Were you able to get up and walk around a little bit?
I didn't.
I didn't get up
a single time. Way back, I got up once.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's way too long on a plane. Sorry. No.
Thank you. Exactly. Don't care to do that again. Man. I even walked out on my deck on Saturday. It's like, oh, hello, Minnesota. Hello, fresh air. Hello, trees. I'm glad to be home.
We're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you back. Temperatures are pretty nice out there. Mild start to the day. Generally low 60s. We're at 64 with the light south breeze, 62 in Moorhead. Yulin, you're at 63. Wahpeton, you're at 57. DL, 63. And Grand Forks, 61. A lot of sunshine today. Now, if you're going west, Devil's Lake Basin, west of there. A few scattered showers today, but all that's staying west. We'll have quite a bit of sunshine here in the valley and in the lakes country with highs in the mid-80s with a light northwest wind. Much better today with opposed to the windy conditions that we had yesterday. Today's a great day to make a tea time. It is going to be a beauty. And then tonight, just a few clouds coming in late tonight. We'll call it partly cloudy late, 60 for a low, light winds. And winds pick up a little bit out of the northeast tomorrow, 10 to 15. We'll have an increase in clouds throughout the day. with highs in the mid to upper 70s. And then showers come into the forecast starting Wednesday night and lasting into Thursday. I know Jay is tickled pink that his last cruise night. And it's gonna rain. There's no way around it.
Dean,
I know. Low 70s. Now, does the rain, is that going to ruin West Fest? Because
that's this weekend,
Friday and Saturday. Yeah. We'll have that forecast for you coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
Okay. Question of the morning: what is the worst movie you ever watched, and did you finish it?
Oh boy,
mine was Pulp Fiction. Could not stand it.
Oh, that wasn't that bad.
I have a friend who it's his favorite movie of all time, and I'm like, I don't get it.
The worst movie I've ever watched. I'd have to get back to you on that because it was back in the 80s. I can't remember the name of it. Me and my buddy were watching it, and I said, what in the world are we watching?
It was Dirty Dancing, wasn't it?
It might have been.
That's what Jay said.
Yeah, it was an 80s movie. I know that. And I looked at him, and I'm like, what in the world are we watching?
I had to Google.
Now, if you're going to say the best movie, that's an easy one.
I had to Google this. This is really dumb. Joseph says Rubber, the absolute worst movie
ever. What should I ask what it's about?
A killer tire.
Shut up.
How dumb.
Like, are you serious?
Yes, I am. It came out in 2010. It's an English language, French, independent, absurdist horror comedy film.
It sounds
in which a tire kills people.
It sounds
like
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, kind of dumb like that.
Wow.
That was another
I think
dumb
some
movie.
Of the dumbest movies I've seen, granted it's in a kind of different setup, Dean, is when you watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 and they make them watch terrible movies and,
right.
and then they're in there in the theater and they make fun of it.
Uh-huh.
We've watched a few of those episodes. You know, when I got back out of the hospital, we watched probably 3-4 of those, and some of those movies you're just like, I can't believe this was an actual movie made. because they're making fun of the movie, but you're watching it going,
oh, you're wondering what were they on when they made that movie.
I don't know. We watched one that had a cast of maybe a dozen people, and it was just terrible, terrible movie from like, I don't know if it was the 60s or 70s, and you're like, they actually took time and made this and put it out there?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
You know what movies I loved and enjoyed watching with my kids, but even prior to that, Swamp Thing. Did you guys ever watch the Swamp Thing series? You didn't like those?
Oh, no.
I just remember the
one where he was in a room and they had like chopped off his arm or whatever, and then he reached up and he got just a little bit of sunlight on his hands, and since he was kind of plant-based, he regrew that arm, and then he saved whoever.
They were just a little creepy, spooky.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say they're creepy. They were technically, they'd probably be in the superhero thing or comic book one, because Swamp Thing was a comic book character.
Wes Craven was the director of Swamp Things.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
The movie Swamp Thing. But then they had
had
TV
cartoon
shows.
Ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
it wasn't really cartoons, but they were kind of geared towards kids more. Because
I didn't see those.
So they were a little scary.
I didn't see those. I just remember like Swamp Thing. I remember that one.
Or what was the other one like it? Not Ghoulies.
Goonies?
No, it wasn't Goonies either, but there was something along the line of it. I can't remember the name of it, which was...
What was
there
the
was
concept?
A book series, too. Kind of like a scary... It was kind of like scary...
Goosebumps?
Type. Goosebumps! Those were good.
I never watched those because I was, in a sense, too old for it, and I don't think my girls...
Your girls probably weren't old enough because my girls watched it.
Don't they have newer versions with, like... Jack Black or somebody is one of the main characters with the kids. I can't remember because there's been some newer Goosebumps movies made like in the last decade.
I thought Goosebumps were really good. I like that. 610 Flatland Music Flashback. That's going to be coming your way right around 6:56 this morning. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist who changed his name because there was another artist who already made a name for himself, and they both had the same name, so he decided to change his. Happened back in 1965, and both were very successful. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:15, the gang's all back together. Big Game James McCarty joining us now. It's a trifecta. Good morning, Jimmy.
We are surviving.
I missed you,
we
boys.
We are thriving. We saw a lot of, caffeine. How about that?
Caffeine.
Highly caffeinated. It's going to take me at least...
Highly caffeinated, slightly agitated.
It's going to take me at least a week to get back, I think, to the normal schedule.
He came in early this morning. I'm like, James, I'm back. How come you're early? I couldn't sleep. I fell asleep too early.
I fell asleep right after that Bucks and you, Texans game like you, immediately.
You
like,
stayed up until 9?
Yeah. It took a lot out of me.
I'm surprised. I stayed up.
I made it up to like 9:05. It was like as the second game was kicking off, that's all I remember.
I was having trouble getting to sleep, so then when my alarm went off, and I was like, you know what? Bonnie's been gone. I can, you know, I can turn the alarm clock.
My feet a little.
I know. Well, there's that usually, but I was like, I can set it 15 minutes ahead of what I used to have it when Bonnie was here. So I'll try and be, you know, here 15 minutes early. And then I hit snooze like twice, and then I forgot my phone. And so
I got here like a half hour early just because I had to catch up on so much stuff. Half hour earlier than early.
Well, that's because James didn't do your stuff while you were gone. I mean, I was supposed to turn on the microphones. That's all I was supposed to do.
It was 4 o'clock yesterday, and I still got nothing done I was supposed to get done yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just been a game of catch up, but part of it's because the Vikings are in shambles. So that's a golly. J.J. McCarthy, he's unlikely to play this weekend, but he's supposed to miss 2 to 4 weeks. It depends on where you're looking right now. Adam Schefter said that he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks of the high ankle sprain. So we'll see where they're sitting at. Right as of right now, you're expecting former NDSU quarterback Carson Wentz to make a start against the Bengals this upcoming Sunday. And we'll have more updates when the Vikings head to Europe, of course, after Sunday night's matchup. Wentz, a 10-year veteran in the NFL, he's played 98 NFL games. And so you'll have rookie quarterback Max Brosmer expected to be serving as the backup as the Vikings host those Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday at noon.
Start Max.
Oh, yeah. I don't want him to get hurt either.
Yeah.
The Twins, even though they've been eliminated from postseason play, they decided to play good baseball last night.
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that, James. I read the score and I was like, what?
Makes no sense. Yeah,
I was like, the St. Paul Saints just beat the Yankees 7-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5-run seventh inning, 7-0. Twins get the win over the Yankees at Target Field. Simeon Woods Richardson struck out 11 over 6 scoreless. Austin Martin led the offense with 4 RBI. Brooks Lee hit his 15th home run of the season. Twins and Yankees again at 6:40 tonight. Zebby Matthews on the mound. WNBA postseason, the Lynx don't play game 2 until tomorrow night, but this evening on what you should have on ESPN will be at 6:30. The Indiana Fever taking on the Atlanta Dream, and then at 8:30 you'll have Seattle, the Storm, taking on the Las Vegas Aces. Las Vegas with a 1-0 series lead, Atlanta with a 1-0 series lead as well. Those are best of 3 series in the first round. Tonight here on WDAY Radio, we're going to have primetime sports at 6:30. That leads right up to a first serve of a matchup in the EDC with high school volleyball. West Fargo Horace battling West Fargo High with Jason and I on the call for that one. So we're looking forward to the excitement of some more volleyball back, and as we approach the weekend, Spud football returns home against Wyzetta Friday night at 6 o'clock. You have Saturday afternoon Cobra football at St. Olaf with Larry Knudsen, and then over on our sister station, The Flag, we'll have second-ranked Shanley taking on Minot High Friday night, and Saturday Dragon football, who is receiving votes in the national poll, will be taking on Wayne State at noon with an opportunity to try and beat the Wildcats for the first time since 2018. So a lot of things going on locally, and we're looking forward to it. Bison are on a bye this week before homecoming against South Dakota next week. So after that home opener win, they got a little bit of time to regroup and kind of work through any bit of kinks that they had through the first month of the regular season.
You know, I have the best of intentions, right? I can't leave for 2 weeks and dump all my extra work on the two of you because I just know what you guys are.
But you did.
So I couldn't come back from vacation without
Very
anything.
Curious.
On how. So I did have the best of intentions. And so you guys are foodies, so I like.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a bag of cookies.
Got something from Target.
No, these came from Serbia, but they got crushed. And this is like the least crushed bag of them. One were just in crumbles.
Here's some cookie crumbs for you.
Yeah, they're vanilla cookies, and they are butter cookies. Hey. And they have apricot jam in them. But they call it yam, Y-A-M, but I think they mean jam. Maybe the J's are Y's over there. I don't know. But so I felt really bad.
Maybe it's ham.
Yason and Yames?
Yes. Too. So I felt really bad. And I was like, I can't come back and not bring the boys anything. So there's a tiny bag of cookies. So it's not from Greece, not from Serbia, but it's from Morehead Target. I went and bought you guys
Morehead
some double stuffed Oreos to share. And I know that you can't just have Oreos without milk, so I bought you each a milk, and I hope that 2% is your jam. I'm, like, looking at whole skim,
this is unbelievably
1%,
hysterical.
2%. I'm like, Just make a decision. They're getting 2%. So there's a quart of milk in the fridge for each
you
of go. You there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you went 2% because
I picked you right for 2%, didn't I?
Yes, yeah.
I grew up drinking 2%, but I
skim milk, that's just glorified water. Just get it out of the faucet if you want skim.
But when you end up drinking enough almond milk over the years, skim milk seems like a huge delicacy.
Show me the teat on an almond and I'll believe you.
I like to refer to almond milk as nut juice.
Yeah. I drink almond milk too, the 30 calorie stuff, just because the calorie thing.
Oh, yeah, but the calories are so low.
If you don't want the 2% milk, Jimmy will drink both
parts
of milk.
I like 2% milk.
You can just eat your Oreos dry.
Oh, gosh. I got a buddy who's got a slight addiction to Oreos that's going to be super jealous about this. Yes. Like, he goes through, like, probably 2 boxes a week.
Really?
And somehow he's 100 pounds lighter than me still.
And life is
Which
fair,
one are you talking about, Jake?
Yeah, it's Jake, yeah.
Life is not
He's
fair.
Like, oh, man, I'm like, I broke 160, man.
Wow, he's really
and
getting
I'm like, you
got
to be kidding me. Like,
I think I know somebody that can help him put on some weight.
Some people do have trouble putting on weight, and it's like, and
I just look at that box of Oreos, and it's like, you know what? I just went up 8 pounds.
Do you notice I'm wearing my vacation pants? Because they're stretch pants, and they fit. I'm not even going to step on a scale, but I guarantee you I gained like 10 pounds probably.
No, we, last week on our interviews for the Dragons, we talked to now redshirt freshman tight end, and I use that term loosely. Because that's where he lines up on the offense. But Gavin Lill is a running back / defensive back from Bismarck Century, and he's put on about 30-35 pounds of muscle since he's been at Moorhead.
Nice.
And we joke with him because we knew that he's been eating a lot and putting on muscle, right? Mm-hmm. And so he walks into the interview with James and myself, and I'm like, Gavin, how many chicken breasts have you eaten so far today? And he's like, I don't really know how many chicken breasts I've eaten, but I know how much weight, how many ounces I've eaten. I'm like, how much have you eaten so far today? A pound and a half.
Oh, my.
He eats 5,500 calories a day in his workout regime.
Wish. I mean, I sometimes probably eat that much.
Yeah, and so do I. I should
it
be
doesn't
at,
turn into muscle.
I should be at 1,500 calories
per
day.
Yeah, but when we're like chowing down on like Oreos and Hershey bars, that's completely different than just rice and chicken and protein pancakes.
Rice, chicken, protein pancakes, protein oatmeal, some yogurt, lean ground beef. I mean, we asked him, it was just like, are you enjoying eating still? And he's like, or is it more of a chore? It's more of a chore.
Yeah. When you're trying to reach goals, right? Like a lot of us are trying to lose. It's not easy.
And
but
he
those
loves
that are trying
to lift weights, I guess. So it was fun talking to him, and it was a great conversation both on our interview and then also obviously before and after, just talking with him about stuff. So it was fun to talk
on
to
him. On a random side note to that, hopefully they don't mind that I share this. At Midtown Tavern after the game on Saturday, I was talking with Mikhail Pearson. He's a
DGF.
A DGF graduate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He plays cornerback for the Dragons, and I was talking with him, and he goes, oh, well, I mean, Gavin, he eats a lot of calories. He goes, he has a chicken breast and he has a container of a chicken breast and rice that he eats at halftime of every game. He brings a chicken breast and rice. I don't remember if it was a pound or pound and a half.
Well, he's depleted playing, I guess.
Yeah, and I was like, he eats that at every halftime. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I said, how does he keep it down? He goes, I have no idea. I know I couldn't.
That's funny.
I know I couldn't.
You would think.
I could keep that down. I just broadcast.
You would think that he would like get some Gatorade or get some fluids at him. He's over there eating a chicken breast and a pound of rice.
Yeah, he's just chowing, man.
Life goals, right?
He eats clean, though. I give him that.
Very, very clean.
All right, go enjoy your Oreos and your milk. It's up on the top shelf there. There's one for each of you. You're welcome, and thanks for covering for me when I was gone. Here's your chance to nominate a first responder who could win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Lee Bryce, Shields Arena, coming up September 27th.
One lucky first responder will be selected thanks to Schmitz Gyms of Fargo, your diamond destination. You can nominate or you can register yourself online at WDAYRadioNow.com. Scroll down about halfway down the page on the left. There'll be a big banner that says Lee Bryce Giveaway. So click on that. Get yourself or someone else nominated. The winner is going to be selected on September 24th. for the concert that's coming up on September 27th at Shields Arena.
6:25, there's some public input meetings being held in Fargo-Moorhead this week on a proposed bridge replacement project, a meeting that you may want to attend, a vital link on the north side of town, and we'll talk about that straight ahead. 6:28, Monty and Friends, WDAY Radio, Monty Amistadi, Jace Denman, and the rest of the crew. Inez sending in a message about the worst movie she's ever seen, never finished it, Dumb and Dumber. Somebody else had mentioned Dumb and Dumber earlier,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did. I said I love it.
I like Dumb and Dumber. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Public input meetings for a proposed Red River Bridge replacement. This is the non-toll bridge, toll bridge. If you guys can remember the toll bridge that links 15th Avenue North and Moorhead, 12th Avenue North and Fargo, used to have to pay like a quarter, I think, to cross it.
I think I actually had to pay once because I didn't know there was such a thing as a toll bridge around the area because I was used to having like a couple places. Down in Kansas, you would take the interstate or whatever from like Kansas City over to Lawrence. There was a toll at that point in time. And then there was also when I was in training for my job, we were out on St. Simon's Island in Georgia. So if you look up St. Simon's, it's very nice. It's kind of a resorty kind of place. And based on the fact there were so many people going through there because it was 2001, it was after 9/11, you'd have to have, you could either buy a pass and just drive back and forth, or each time you went over and back on the bridge, you had to like spend, it was like 35 cents.
That's how it used to be here. And it might have gone up to 35. It's been not a toll road now, probably a dozen years. It used to be privately owned, and that's why they could do whatever they wanted to do. So they would charge you a fee for going over it. But like I said, the past decade, if not longer, it's been just, it's free. You're free to use it. But it carries a high volume of traffic between Fargo and Moorhead. You come up on the Fargo side, or if you start there, it's right by Jack Williams Stadium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get to the north side of Moorhead, where American Crystal Sugar is right there, the Law Enforcement Center not too far away, St. Francis de Sales Church, City Garage. I mean, it's just the access point, El Zago Golf Course on the Fargo side, if you're going up to Edgewood. Pretty essential for those that live, especially, say, on the north side of Fargo and Moorhead, or those that needing to get to the north side of town. So there's going to be some public input meetings coming up both tonight and Thursday. You can go look at the plans that they have for this bridge replacement project. Tonight it will be, both nights it'll be from 5 to 7 p.m., but tonight that meeting is going to be at Horace Mann Elementary School in Fargo, 1025 3rd Street North. And then on Thursday, they're holding an open house at St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church in Moorhead. It's right when you cross the bridge there, 601 15th Avenue North. Again, the open house, the public input meetings are from 5 to 7 p.m. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. Come and go as you please. The meetings are an open house format, but they will have a formal presentation at 5:30. So if you have an interest in that, you want to go, again, both tonight and Thursday night, 5 to 7 p.m., tonight, Horace Mann Elementary School, and then Thursday, St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church. It is 6:30. 6:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast.
And we've got temperatures out there pretty mild for this time of the year, with temperatures upper 50s to lower 60s across much of the area. And we're going to see a lot of sunshine today, unseasonably warm. Normal highs are low 70s. We're going to be in the mid-80s today, 86, under mostly sunny skies. And the big difference today compared to yesterday is light winds today, where we had very breezy conditions out of the south yesterday. So much lighter winds today. Good day to get out, tee it up, something. Get outside and enjoy it. These days are limited. And then tonight we'll see a few clouds coming in late tonight, 60 for a low with light winds out of the north. Northeast winds pick up a little bit tomorrow, about 10 to 15. And highs in the mid to upper 70s. We might see a few sprinkles tomorrow evening, and then a better chance of rain coming in Thursday. Thursday looks pretty wet, with highs in the low 70s, and the wet weather continues all day Friday, with highs in the low 70s. I know we've got West Fest Friday and Saturday, and Friday looks wet. Saturday looks a little better. I think the morning is going to be wet, but I think things will improve a little bit as we head into the afternoon. I'm not going to say it's totally dry in the afternoon and evening for the concert, but it will start to improve slowly. And then as we head into the latter part of the weekend, Sunday, we should shut the rain off, and we'll have temps in the low 70s. So not the best timing for the rain, and we're looking at widespread rain. 1 to 2 inches, a very good bet across our entire area. So make sure you, if you're like me, I looked out at my lawn yesterday evening. I said, I better get my butt out there and mow that because after we have 2 days of rain.
And I asked Jace, was it kind of dry when we were gone for 2 weeks? Because I noticed our lawn was a little brown in some spots.
Yeah, we had most of the rain was to our west. We had a record, while you were gone, a record tornado outbreak for the month of September.
Was that Sunday?
That was Sunday. Yeah, from Bismarck up through Devil's Lake. They had flooding in Bismarck, so all the rain was to our west.
I did see that on social media. That was crazy.
19 tornadoes in one day. Now, not all of them have, you know, the National Weather Service is still researching that, but let's assume it holds at 19. The total number of tornadoes that we've had in the month of September across the state from 1950 to 2024, okay, so we're talking, what are we looking at, 74 years of data. The total number of September tornadoes was 27, and we had 19 in one day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you don't see that too often, that's for sure.
And I see a story we got from our news service here. Previous tornadoes in a single year in North Dakota was in 1999. There were 61 confirmed. And prior to, you know, finalizing everything, the Weather Service is still working on, you know, finalizing those 19. The count I see is we have 58, but they're expecting we will surpass the 1999 total.
It's been an active season. You know, we've been pretty lucky here. We had a few rounds of severe weather here, but most of it's been out in the central part of the state where they were kind of the bullseye this summer and now even in the fall.
Yeah, that same area. You're absolutely right. But we will take
What did you just say?
That same area, like the central part of the state.
After
that. I don't know. I talk so much.
Said,
am I supposed to remember
said,
everything?
You're absolutely right. Can we please, can we make a clip out of that,
you're
please?
You're such a loser. I tell you you're right a lot. You're such a loser. Get out of here.
Okay, you're absolutely right, and you're such a loser. I want those two clips.
Am I the only woman in your life who actually tells you you're right, that you're so shocked?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Bonnie. And so, you're not the only one that said you're a complete loser either. So
you probably hear that more often.
You're getting lying on that one.
6:37, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network. Big Game James McCarty is back with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Vikings, a little bit of a quarterback blunder right now. J.J. McCarthy suffering a high ankle sprain in their Sunday night football loss to the Falcons. Do you guys know how many times J.J. took a hit on a drop back?
No.
He had 27 drop backs total.
20.
11.
Thanks for reading that.
Is
the
it
page.
11?
Yeah, he read the page. I was trying to see if he'd guess.
No, I was going to guess.
He took 11 hits on 27 dropbacks, six of which were sacks, three of which the rusher went untouched. J.J. hurts a little bit, and that's understandable, because I hurt for him, because that was egregious, to say the least. So while he's recovering, ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting 2 to 4 weeks the Vikings are expecting him to miss. They're going to sacrifice former North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz. And hope that he can get outside the pocket, get rid of the football in about as much time as it takes him to get the snap to him. Otherwise, he'll be in trouble because the Vikings are out anywhere from 1 to 3 offensive linemen here this upcoming weekend against Cincinnati. We'll see how things go. And then after that game at home against the Bengals, weeks 4 and 5, they'll be in Dublin and London for a couple of European matchups. The Minnesota Twins rode a 5-run seventh inning to a 7-0 victory over the Yankees at Target Field on Monday night. Simeon Woods Richardson struck out 11 batters over 6 scoreless innings, earning his 7th win of the year. Austin Martin led the offensive attack with 4 RBI as the Twins and Yankees continue their series tonight at 6:40 with Zebby Matthews on the mound. And tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, Primetime Sports at 6:30, Jason and I will get you up to speed on the local sports scene. And then at 7 p.m., first serve of an EDC volleyball matchup between the West Fargo Horus Hawks and the West Fargo High Packers. Jason and I will have the full match coverage of that one as the Packers try and solidify themselves on top of the EDC, whereas the Hawks try and create a little bit of chaos as we're a couple of weeks into conference play here at this moment in time. And as well, the Timberwolves, as we approach preseason play, adding a little bit of depth. They're bringing back guard Bones Highland bringing him, the terms have not been released yet. He was with the team for a good chunk of last season on a two-way deal. And then they're also bringing in Johnny Juzang, who spent the first three seasons of his NBA career with the Utah Jazz. So between the two of them, they're averaging about 9 and 8 points respectively throughout their NBA careers, just over 100 games apiece. The Pack open up preseason play on Saturday, October 4th, when they take on the Denver Nuggets. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
I was adventurous eating on our vacation. I tried to eat like some traditional stuff when we were in Greece and Serbia.
Did you have snails?
No, it was snails a thing. I did not have escargot.
Is that more of a French thing?
I don't know. I didn't see those on the menu, but what I did have was octopus. Not like the tentacle stuff. They were like little chunks of... We were eating lunch and an Australian friend joined us. And I said to him, I'm like, Jake, I'm like, what's octopus taste like? And will I like it? Because they had this lovely spaghetti dish with chunks of octopus in it. He goes, it tastes like chewy chicken is how he described it. And I'm like...
But it's like super chewy.
No, it wasn't. It was actually... Bless you, James. It was actually really good. There was nothing not to like about it. I would compare it to more like a scallop. Like, have you had scallops before?
I actually haven't had a scallop.
You haven't? Have you had scallops before?
Yes, a while back.
Yeah.
And I had octopus on a cruise.
Did you? Was it the tentacle-y stuff, or was it, like, skin?
It was chunked up and deep-fried.
Yeah.
It was very Americanized.
Okay. Mine wasn't deep-fried.
It tasted very good.
Yeah.
You were in the South, weren't you, James?
We were in the Gulf of Mexico.
That's how they serve their vegetables in the South. They just batter it and deep-fry it and be like, here's your cauliflower and broccoli.
And James is like,
Any way to get the vegetables in, you know?
I liked it, and like you said, you liked it too. There was nothing not to like about it. It was a little chewy, but it wasn't...
A little bit chewier of it's a, you know, pretty... Slightly more rubbery of a texture overall, but it's dense.
I ate
overall.
the whole thing, and it was a massive dish of octopus spaghetti, like massive, probably like
octopus
should have been two
spaghetti.
Portions.
Ooh.
Was it good?
Did it have the squid ink in it or something too?
No, I didn't see any squid ink.
Beak is just looking at you.
I've had octopus in my Chinese food before, or maybe it was Japanese. We were at a place and I didn't know what was going to be in it. Oh. So I'm eating this dish, this like... udon noodles with a bunch of meat in it, and I didn't know that was in it. So you could tell it was there because it was very, very
chewy. Served all the shrimp with the eyeballs, but that doesn't bother me. It was on the State in Entertainment History. This singer became the oldest living musician to top the Billboard album chart. Somebody broke that record after him, but it happened in 2006, and we'll tell you who it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming up right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repair. It is 6:48. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1965. This British singer actually had to change his name so that he would avoid being confused with another singer from another group. We'll find out who that was and what he changed his name to coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
In 1965, British singer Davy Jones changed his name to David Bowie to avoid being confused with a member of the Monkees who had the same name.
Interesting. Space Oddity became one of Bowie's signature songs. It's also one of four songs to be included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 Songs That Shaped Rock and Roll.
1968, Jimi Hendrix's debut album, Are You Experienced, entered the Billboard Hot 200 album chart, where it stayed for 107 weeks, including 77 weeks in the top 40. Among the hits were Purple Haze, Foxy Lady, Hey Joe, and The Wind Cries Mary.
Rolling Stone puts the album at 15 on its list of 500 greatest albums of all time.
1985, Kate Bush released her fifth studio album, Hounds of Love. The lead single, Running Up That Hill, became one of her biggest hits.
It peaked at 30 on the Billboard charts. It became popularized once again in the Netflix series Stranger Things. One of the characters in there constantly listening to it.
This is Bonnie when she goes out on a Friday night.
Careful what you ask for, ladies.
In 2004, Zora Armstead, one half of the Weather Girls, died of a heart failure. She was just 62 years old.
Yeah, Armstead and Martha Wash were backup vocalists for disco artist Sylvester before they signed with a record label. Their only hit was right here, It's Raining Men. Song reached 46 on the Billboard charts.
That's all?
It was a big, when I was club DJing, it was a big hit.
Of course. In 2006, Bob Dylan was at number one in the U.S. album charts with Modern Times. It was Dylan's first album to reach that position since 1976's Desire.
At 65, he became the oldest living musician to top the Billboard albums charts. But move over, Tony Bennett broke that record in 2011 at the age of 85 with his duets album.
He crushed the record. Having a birthday today. There's a couple other interesting birthdays today, Bonnie. I'll have to mention later. Having a birthday today, the one and only Richard Marx is 62. Not sure if his hair is still as tall as it was back in the 90s. It was a record like 9.5 inches tall, I believe, is what Rick D. said once upon a time.
Do you remember who he married and is still married to?
She married an actress, didn't he?
She was a VJ on MTV.
Oh, what? Oh.
And I think model, actress, too, probably Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I kind of forget that because it seems like an odd match. But anyway, singer-songwriter is the only male artist in history to have his first 7 singles reach the top 5 of the Billboard charts. He has 5 number ones, including Right Here Waiting. I was going to say Right Here, Right Now. Hold On to the Nights and Endless Summer Nights. A lot of nights and rights in his song vocabulary.
And if you're having a birthday, happy birthday to you, too. 701, we are WDAY Fargo. 704, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast.
Well, I would say this is going to end up being a top 10 day. Not many times you get, going into that third week in September, light winds, sunshine, and temps in the 80s. This might be too warm for some people. Maybe it's not a top 10 day to me. This is perfect. Low humidity. Humidity levels aren't that bad. We got a few clouds this morning, but with temps in the upper 50s now, we'll warm up into the mid-80s today. A lot of sunshine, light northwest winds. Tonight, a few clouds come in late, low 60, and northeast winds pick up a little bit tomorrow, about 10 to 15. And we'll see an increase in clouds tomorrow. But the majority of the day will be dry. But by evening, by about 5, 6 o'clock, we will start to see showers pull in from the south with highs in the mid to upper 70s. Now, Thursday and Friday look wet. Showers both Thursday and Friday. And temps are right around that 70-degree mark. We're getting very strong indications from all of our short-range models of about 1 to 2 inches of rain across the area Thursday and Friday and into early Saturday. So about a 2.5-day rain event. And with that, about 1 to 2 inches of rain across the area.
In terms of a soaker, like locally here in the FM area I'm talking, we really haven't had a soaker all summer, have we? Where we've had rain that's lasted a couple of days or day and a half, two days.
Not really, no.
Yeah. I mean, other parts of the state, yes. South Dakota, too.
We really haven't, we haven't had a true soaker around here. Mm-hmm. Not the best timing with, harvest and everything, but, I mean, if we need the moisture, we need the moisture. So low 70s or right around 70 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The rain should start to wind down on Saturday. I know a lot of questions about Westfest concert on Saturday. Isn't there a concert Friday night as well?
At Westfest?
Yeah.
Let me see this big calendar here in front of me.
I want to say
Friday, the Johnny Holm Band.
Johnny Holm Band,
party with Johnny Holm Band,
And Friday evening looks wet. And those are all outside, I believe, out of the lights.
That's out the lights, yeah.
And then a concert Saturday out of the lights, right?
Street Dance with Mason Dixon.
Okay,
Line.
So...
That one's at the POW-MIA Plaza.
Downtown West Fargo.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Now... it looks like we should start to improve things by Saturday, late afternoon into the evening. So the Saturday evening events should be okay. And then Sunday, we'll see some sunshine return, low 70s, and then another chance of showers on Monday. It can't rain on Monday. We've got a golf tournament on Monday.
Is it going to rain on Monday?
The scattered showers are possible on Monday. Yeah,
we'll be fine.
And then if you like the 80s, who doesn't? That hairstyle and those spandex. Hey.
Leg warmers. Cut the neck off my sweatshirt and pull it down over one of your shoulders, right?
The big hair. Oh, yeah.
My knees were still intact at that point in time.
Well, those 80s are coming back later next week. So this won't be the last day in the 80s. I do see them returning middle of and end of next week.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
Mm-hmm. Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. 707, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 7-Eleven, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
A little bit of turmoil in Vikings camp as the starting quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, is a bit banged up, a high ankle sprain he sustained after taking 11 quarterback hits and 6 sacks in that Sunday Night Football loss to the Atlanta Falcons. It looks as though they're expecting it to be a short-term stint of injury for McCarthy as he goes through rehab processes this weekend and over the next couple of weeks. They're not expecting him to play this weekend. Adam Schefter of ESPN is reporting that McCarthy is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks, which in turn would push up North Dakota State or former North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz into the starting quarterback role for the Vikings. Wentz, a 10-year NFL veteran, would become the first quarterback in NFL history to start for six different teams over a six-year span if he does indeed start this Sunday when the Vikings host the Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals. After this matchup on Sunday on CBS against Cincy, the Vikings actually hit the road as they head in week four to Dublin and week five to London before their bye week. Twins riding a 5-run seventh inning to a 7-0 victory over the New York Yankees on Monday night. First time the Twins have shut out the Yankees since 2008 when actually Glenn Perkins and Joe Nathan combined for a complete game shutout. This time it was Simeon Woods Richardson striking out 11 over 6 scoreless. Cody Funderburk, Travis Adams, and Pearson Ohl, all three of which had a scoreless inning in relief in that victory. Austin Martin led the offense with 4 RBI. Twins and Yankees again at 6:40 tonight with Zebby Matthews scheduled to get the start for Minnesota. And tonight you're going to have Primetime Sports at 6:30. Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll get you up to speed on the local sports scene. Plus, you're going to have a high school volleyball EDC rivalry matchup when you have the West Fargo Horace Hawks welcome the West Fargo High Packers into their gymnasium for an EDC bout. 7 p.m. will be first serve of that one. And as we approach the 25-26 season, Timberwolves adding a little bit of depth in both their front court and back court as they bring back Bones Highland. They agree to terms with him. He's spent 4 seasons in the NBA so far, 2-way contract with the Wolves last year. They also bring in Johnny Juzang, who spent the last 3 seasons with the Utah Jazz, both of which appeared in just over, 186 games for Highland and then 102 for Juzang. As we get ready for preseason play that begins October 4th against the Denver Nuggets.
Well, I would assume, James, a couple of those players, although Bones might stick around, obviously make the 15-man roster. Do you think some of those guys are just kind of brought in for training camp, extra bodies, and they'll be given a chance to maybe make the squad?
Yeah, I mean, more likely than not. I liked Juzang out of college. He played at Kentucky and then UCLA, helped the Bruins to a Final Four. Would have been... technically 5 years ago, the 2021 spring. So he played really well there, but never got a ton of footing. He started in about 25 games or so for Utah the last 3 years, but at the same point, he only played in 105, 110 games. I forget. It's just over 100 games over 3 seasons out of a potential, 246 games, somewhere in there. So, I mean, he basically played in 40% of their games for whatever reason, whether it was injury, coaches' decisions, things of those sorts. So,
when we've seen players on the Wolves roster that you're like, why isn't this guy getting any time on the court? And, it's just there's a certain rotation that Coach Finch likes to use. And if anything, maybe they send him to Iowa and get him some playing time and you have him ready to roll if needed. And usually during the regular season, you kind of go deeper into your bench than you do in the playoffs. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sports This Hour brought to you by Sun Electric, deeply rooted in the Midwest with a reputation built on performance. That's Sun Electric. Have an electrical problem? They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
7:15, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. If you saw somebody wandering around your town wearing a Spider-Man costume, you might think you're a weirdo. This happens.
What if he's just he's on patrol for crimes? He's keeping our neighborhood safe.
South Carolina, Greenville. We'll talk more about it coming up next. 7:18, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistuddy, Jace Denman, and you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Greenville, South Carolina. There's a
Dateline Greenville.
18-year-old, they call him a local superhero. Well, I guess in a certain instance, he was a superhero. But he walks around the streets of Greenville, South Carolina. Apparently, he has a scanner, a police scanner, and he listens for it. And if he hears something going on, then he rushes to the scene wearing his Spider-Man costume because you never know when Spider-Man is needed, I guess. But he also is like a do-gooder. I mean, he picks up trash. He meets fans, so he's got a fan base, too, and he listens to the police scanner, like I said. So if he hears something going on, he'll rush to the scene. I guess he is CPR certified, and if he hears something about somebody having breathing problems, he runs to the scene in his Spider-Man costume and tries to help them out until EMS arrives. He says his intention is to help the people of Greenville, South Carolina, protect and also spread kindness along the way. Hmm. Well, he was listening to his scanner, and he heard a call about a couple that was on a waterfall, and they got stuck. Somehow they slipped and got stuck. So Spider-Man sprung into action, went to the scene.
Yes.
And he said when he got there, he saw one of them almost slip and fall. He's like, all right, go time. Mm-hmm. So he booked it over there, jumped over some rocks to get over there in his Spider-Man costume. And he says there was an indent, so he's able to climb like Spidey-Man, mm-hmm. like a rock climbing wall, put his feet up, prop himself up. And then the person grabbed his wrist. He pulled them up.
Hmm.
It doesn't say if he pulled both of them up or if he just rescued one. It just says they grabbed my wrist and I pulled them up. So he basically, Spider-Man to the rescue.
Exactly.
It's kind of weird. I mean, it's weird, but
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
He's a do-gooder, though. I mean, good for him. You know, maybe he should join the local, volunteer fire department or EMS or something like that. He's only 18, but still. I mean, they probably wouldn't let him wear a Spider-Man costume. They'd probably, make him wear his, volunteer-issued shirt and pants or protective gear or whatever.
Maybe, but then maybe he wouldn't want to do that. Maybe he wants the anonymity of being Spider-Man.
I guess. He picks up litter, too, so good for him. And he meets fans, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll see where that young man goes, but good for him for rescuing two people stuck on a waterfall in downtown Greenville, South Carolina. Small grain milling comes to western Minnesota. We'll talk all about that with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. She is straight ahead.
7:22, we head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
There's a voice that I haven't heard for a while. Have we met?
No, I don't know. I think she's new here.
I'm here.
Glad to have you back, Bonnie.
Aw, thanks, Bridget. It's good to be back.
Well, did you come back and find out you have some tomatoes that haven't really ripened yet?
No, I only have two little cherry tomato plants, and my neighbor was watering my plants for me, and her two-year-old made sure that he was eating up all the cherry tomatoes when we were gone.
It's probably not a bad place for those cherry tomatoes to go. And as some of us have been waiting, and I heard the comment multiple times over the late summer, why is it taking so long for these tomatoes to ripen up?
It was definitely warm enough, so what the heck?
Well, you would think so, but no, because tomatoes originated in South America, their ideal temperatures are about 75 degrees, so that optimum temp could be as high as 77. The further our temps stray out of that range, the slower they ripen.
Get out. So when it's 80, 90 degrees, they ripen slower?
They do.
What?
They honestly do. Huh. Yep, because it prevents them from producing lycopene and carotene, which are the pigments that give a traditional ripe tomato the color.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes. Additionally, when we think about what might be lacking in our soil, potassium. Particularly if you plant your tomatoes in the same spot every year, potassium is the nutrient for fruit development and ripening, and you might have a deficiency in your soil. How can we find out? You could take a soil sample, take it over to NDSU Horticulture or Extension, have them run that, look for what your deficiency might be. AgVice in Northwood does a nice job of running those soil samples for us. But you can also consider looking for a fertilizer that would contain some potassium. You could add it as a granule this fall when you dig it into the soil. Or you could go ahead and add it as a foliar applied to the leaves in the spring, meaning it's a liquid and you just spray it on the leaves for the uptake. And with those heavy rains that we had at the end of June into July, that's maybe where we washed away some of that potassium and lost it. Mm. So it's possible that could be gone.
Mm, interesting.
Now, one thing that left Minnesota in the last, let's say, 50 years was more of its cereal production. Nearly 70% of the state's farmland was planted into wheat back in the late 19th century, and Minneapolis was really a flour milling powerhouse. That changed over time, and then wheat varieties declined heavily in the mid-1990s, and oats became a very niche crop, largely grown for livestock feed. But that is changing. There's a couple of mills that are coming back, and for good reasons. Advocates who want to talk about raising more oats in their rotation show the benefit of breaking up pest and disease cycles, suppressing weeds, reducing fertilizer needs because small grains tend to leave some fertility in the soil. And then also, it gives a different harvest window, so you have time to get that crop off out of the field, and then even establish a cover crop yet before the end of the season. So where are those mills coming in? Well, one of them is going to be near the Lacaparle River, and that particular site has a goal that they want to process regionally grown oats, wheat, and rye, and they want to be able to meet the demand that high-quality grain products have right now and make a direct connection to the producers. There's an additional site, Green Acres Milling, and that is going to be taking place near Albert Lea, Minnesota. They hope to be operational late summer 2026 with the capacity to mill 4 million bushels.
Oh, wow.
4 million sounds like a lot, but considering how, you know, we can probably be getting a 70-80 bushel average per acre, it won't take long to fill those spots for the milling. They want to be able to process 26 different types of oats, make it a traceable oat groat, flakes, and flour, and then be able to take the byproducts to be used as animal feed and bedding. 90% of the oats consumed in the U.S. are consumed as a food product.
Great.
We don't want to stop that.
Would these be fairly sizable employers, or it doesn't take that much to run a mill?
You know, I think with today's technology, it probably doesn't take a lot to run those mills like it once did. But I'm not going to be in the spot, so I probably can't give quite as much information until they're up and running and be able to give us some feedback about what it looks like. But there is a lot of interest in bringing back those milling areas and, again, the oats that were once grown so heavily in this region. Now, speaking of small grains, University of California, Davis believes they have developed a wheat plant that can actually create its own fertilizer. Mm-hmm. So there's a gene editing technology out there called CRISPR. And by using CRISPR, you can get wheat plants to produce more of its own natural secretion, if you will. So when the plant releases that excess secretion into the soil, that helps certain bacteria in the soil convert nitrogen from the air into a form that the plant can then use to continue to grow. It's nitrogen fixation, and the plant, which is what already happens in plants like soybeans, they can fix their own nitrogen. Well, if that's the case, you have global areas that fertilizer is not accessible, it's expensive, they don't necessarily have the cultural practices to do it, but this could possibly work where the wheat fertilizes itself.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it could. There was also some work recently done on rice being able to do the same thing. Well, wheat is the number two cereal crop by yield, takes the greatest share of nitrogen fertilizer, about 18% globally. So that means that more than 800 million tons of fertilizer were produced just in the last 5 years alone. So if these plants are able to create about 30 to 50% of their own nitrogen, that could also help reduce some of the overall nitrogen need and use being done around the world. We'll see if that moves forward, because, again, it all has to be reasonably priced in order for it to happen, and we're not sure it's there yet.
I had to Google rice, of course. You know me. My brain's always, like, clicking. And I was wondering, like, how much of the rice we consume is grown here. I guess 80% of the rice consumed in the U.S. is grown here domestically.
Yep. Do you know which two states?
It says Arkansas, California, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Texas. Yep.
Arkansas and California are two big states, and
Okay. Those
folks are in the hurt bag right now. Their rice production has been good, but they just haven't had a price for it. So if you aren't eating wheat, you should probably have a little bit of rice today to try to help melt, because there is, in talking with farmers in that region, they have some very grave concerns about their economic stability for the coming years.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, we're going to get over to Weather and Ag in Focus a little bit later today. We have the opportunity for you to have a guest host for me. I will not be on Weather and Ag in Focus today. In fact, I'll be teaching a class out in Bismarck for a organization. So Sarah Lovis is going to fill in for me, and she will be joined by Carrie Hammer. She's from North Dakota State University, and they're going to be talking about some certifications that North Dakota State is going to be offering, as well as some of their regular degrees. So they'll visit about that with Dean later today.
And we've got another Here We Grow video that our videographer Michael has put together. Yeah.
Absolutely. That showed us the harvest and how we took that wheat off the field and what's going to happen to it now that it's back in the bin, so to speak, and soon to be used for seed wheat. That'll be wheat that next year will be used to raise another crop.
There you go. You can check it out on our social media pages or at WDAYRadioNow.com.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great day.
Have fun speaking.
Thanks much. Bye, Bridget.
Bye. It is 7:30. 7:33. Time now for a check on your forecast. Looking like a lovely morning out there. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here.
Yeah, we've got some pretty nice weather out there to start off the day. A lot of clear skies. A few clouds to the west of the valley, but we'll all enjoy more sunshine as we head throughout the day. We're in the upper 50s right now. We'll warm up into the mid-80s today with a lot of sunshine and light northwest winds. Tonight, just a few scattered clouds coming in late tonight with lows around 60. And Wednesday, we'll see increasing clouds throughout the day. Northeast winds 10 to 15, mid to upper 70s tomorrow. Now, we will see a few showers come into the forecast Wednesday evening. Looks like after 5, 6 o'clock. Those will be very light. But then those showers increase in coverage as we head into Wednesday night and Thursday. Thursday looks wet. Friday looks wet. Highs both days around 70. We're getting very strong indications from our short-term models that we're going to see about 1 to 2 inches of rain across much of the area. And then those showers continue into early Saturday before diminishing. And then temps over the weekend, again, right around the 70-degree mark. Sunday, a little more sunshine. And then we'll start a warm-up as we head into next week. We'll start off in the low 70s on Monday. And by the middle of next week, we should be back into the 80s. Hmm. So if this is, won't be the last 80-degree temperature we see, but, man, 86 today. Hmm. That's feeling more like summer.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Weather sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. 7:35, we've got to check on your national news. When we return, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, then Dean will return with your 3-degree guarantee.
7:38, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Head coach Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings had his weekly Monday press conference, and he had spoken on J.J. McCarthy coming into the facility a little bit sore with a high ankle sprain he suffered in that Sunday night football loss to the Atlanta Falcons, where he took 11 quarterback hits and 6 sacks, 3 of which went unblocked. So he got folded like a lawn chair pretty regularly, which is not great. I don't care how old or young you are. That shouldn't happen a dozen times. We'll put it that way, in a single game. Adam Schefter of ESPN is reporting on top of that McCarthy is expecting to miss 2 to 4 weeks recovering from that injury. So the expectation is that former NDSU quarterback Carson Wentz will make the start on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals in Minneapolis. He's a 10-year NFL vet and a 6-team over the past 6 seasons, a 47-46-1 career record. He has 153 touchdown passes over 98 career games. If he were to start Wentz on Sunday, mm-hmm. he would become the first quarterback in NFL history to make a start for 6 different teams over 6 different seasons. He spent his first 5 years with the Eagles before bouncing around the past half a decade now.
He definitely got the experience.
And right now, the Vikings currently expected to be without Christian Darrisaw, their starting left tackle, who is out due to that torn ACL he's recovering from. School, who is the backup left tackle, is in concussion protocol. Also, Ryan Kelly, the starting center, is under concussion protocol as well for the Vikings. So, needless to say, we're hopeful that the line's a little bit healthier come Sunday against Cincinnati, but there's no promises. You could be out anywhere from 1 to 3 offensive linemen, depending on things go. So, Carson, if you're listening, when you get that snap, you better fire that ball the second you touch it. Otherwise, you might end up needing an ice bath after the game.
Yeah. Well, and experience means a lot, too.
Oh, very much so.
We'll see how he does.
It's going to be about diagnosing pre-snap certain this weekend.
And I'm sure you've seen, too, the fan base, the chatter out there on social media, some already calling for getting rid of J.J. McCarthy. It's like, come on, people. Really?
Well, and also,
fan bases a lot of time are very overreactive. Yeah. And just quite honestly, they're not smart enough to figure things out because – how many times, James, have we talked about when it comes to NBA players, you need to give them at least 3 years overall to kind of get in the system and develop. And there's fans that just simply don't have
He didn't get any reps his entire rookie season due to that injury.
Right.
So he came back in as QB1. He's worked through it. Something else to keep in mind, too, you know, it was only his second NFL start. Midway through the week, his fiance gave birth to their first child, a baby boy. So that was early morning hours of Thursday, I believe, late Wednesday. So he probably didn't sleep the last 3 days before they played the Falcons.
Excuse.
So
football comes first. Family is later on.
Yeah. You know, shush, Tom, over there. Okay. But that's also something. So he spent, you know, there's a lot more family time than there was preparation time as well this past week. Now you can say that's not a valid excuse. Well, it is something that also plays a role when you're missing two starting offensive linemen. That's also not super ideal. And on top of that, I think Atlanta just had a really good game plan to keep the Vikings on their toes the entire matchup. They'll host the Bengals Sunday at noon. Coverage available on CBS for that one. Twins riding a 5-run seventh inning and route to a 7-0 victory over the New York Yankees on Monday night. Simeon Woods Richardson would strike out 11 batters over 6 scoreless innings with his 7th victory of the year. Austin Martin had 4 RBI in that one. Twins and Yankees again at 6:40 tonight. Zebby Matthews on the mound. Do either of you two know the last time the Twins shut out the Yankees?
Shut out?
2008.
Yep. Last night.
Before last night.
Well, that technically I was right.
You got to be such a schmuck, don't you?
When was the last time they shut him up? Well,
is that what you referenced earlier?
Yes, I did. 2008.
Who paid attention in class?
See?
Hello.
It was baseball.
There we go.
A student off. Here.
Yeah, it was 2008. Glenn Perkins went 8 scoreless innings, and then Joe Ryan closed out the 9th inning. The Twins won 4-0. That was at the Metrodome.
Oh.
That game, yeah.
Wow.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah.
It was in the heyday of the Metrodome, pre-collapse of the Gnome at that rate as well. And tonight, you're going to have primetime sports at 6:30 here on WDAY Radio. We'll get you caught up on the local sports scene. Plus, at 7 p.m., an EDC volleyball showdown between the West Fargo Horse Hawks and the West Fargo High Packers. 7 p.m. first serve with Jason Knight on the call for that one. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
743, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 745, time now for a check on your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
All right. Forecast at 83 yesterday. I was on a 14-day streak.
14-day streak.
When you were gone, buddy.
Screwed it all up the other day.
Yeah, keyword is were.
Yeah. So, we're going to start a new one. 83 forecasted yesterday. We hit 86 yesterday. Okay. So, you just squeaked it in.
Right.
I would bet the mortgage on today's, without a doubt. Yep. 86. We're going to stick with consistency today. A lot of sunshine, light northwest winds today. Down to 60 tonight, and then Wednesday increasing clouds, mid to upper 70s. Showers come in Wednesday and last all the way through early Saturday. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee. Enjoy it. It'll be the last beautiful day until about a week from now with highs at 86 today.
All right.
Don't forget, book the mortgage and your neighbor's mortgage.
I'm
just
doing
that. That's a lot of mortgages.
I know.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got the money? What are you worried about?
Don't tell anybody. You know how much money I spent over the past 2 weeks?
You know how much you would have won if you would have listened to me?
True.
You would have lost it all on yesterday.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There's that. So your 3-degree guarantee, 86, and that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
And Dean also letting us know when he walked in. Did you guys hear Robert Redford died?
No,
we
had not heard that.
Yeah. 89 years old, his publicist says. He died at his home in the mountains of Utah, the place he loved, surrounded by those he loved, family requesting privacy. And, of course, you know, I guess, like, the guy, one of the go-to guys back in the day, right?
Yeah.
60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leading men back in the day.
Absolutely was.
Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, was one of his big flicks, but he was in many movies over the years. Yeah. I said, how old? 90? But I guess 89. Yeah.
Speaking of birthdays, I was going to touch on a few of these. So Nick Jonas has got a birthday today. Of the Jonas Brothers.
Okay, like 41?
33.
Way off. But yeah.
He looks rough. No, just kidding.
I had like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC in my head. I should have. I was off.
What about Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live and Parks and Rec and a number of other things?
She's got to be, say, 47-ish.
She's 54.
54, yeah. Okay. I'm not doing very good at this game today.
Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
The singer who was.
Oh, he's probably 62.
Wow. He's 57.
Is that all he is?
Yeah.
Oh.
How about Molly Shannon? She was Sally O'Malley, who likes to kick, stretch, and kick. She's 50 years old.
I was going to put her at 57, so I also would have been wrong on that.
Yeah, well, she's 61.
Oh, 61. Well, I'm still wrong.
We already talked about Richard Marx, who's 62. Remember David Copperfield?
Yeah.
Magician?
He'd probably be 65.
Oh, I thought you were going to do better. 69.
Okay.
Mickey Rourke. How old is Mickey Rourke?
How old is his face, or how old is he?
I don't know how old his I don't know how old his face is because he's done some work.
61.
73.
Is he that old?
Yeah, he's actually 73. How about actor Ed Begley Jr.? He's been in a number of sitcoms and other things.
He's got to be 64. I don't
76.
I was trying to be kind. I was just guessing. And I was way off.
Yeah, you were way off.
701-293-9000. Go to the phone lines, find out who this is. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Kiyomi calling.
Hi, Kiyomi. How are you?
Hi. Good. I just wanted to call and say welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
And the boys did great while you were gone, but it's nice to have the boss lady back.
Exactly. Yeah, she knows who's in charge around this place.
That's great.
I'm sure they did. They do a good job.
Yeah. So welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Kiyomi. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too.
We did have one caller yesterday. He wasn't on the air because we were in commercial break because I didn't know who was calling. We did have Jason called and said that we were doing a good job and we needed to change the locks and just not have
unlock
you come back.
Me. I know who Jason is. Jason, I'm coming for you, man. It is 7:50, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Local restaurant might be closing. It's been closed for a while. I guess got themselves in a little bit of trouble. Story in Inform. We'll talk about it coming up next. 7:51, thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you. I see in the forum this morning that popular Chinese restaurant, Giant Panda, is likely to close after the owner has been sentenced for harboring undocumented workers. I think they've been kind of closed for a while here now.
I think so, because I think the last time, it was a couple months ago, I think my wife and I, we went to the Applebee's that's right next to it, and we were trying to figure out if it was open or not. I mean, I hadn't heard anything about it closing, but sometimes a place like that, because there was a, I want to say there was a Chinese buffet that was off of like University on the south side of the interstate that had been open for a long time. We might have even eaten there at one point in time, but it seemed like that place was closed a long time ago. And obviously there used to be a Chinese buffet downtown that they redid the building, the black building or whatever downtown. And so that restaurant closed. So sometimes they just kind of, you know, they lose popularity and then maybe they just kind of close. But the reasoning for this one is a little more interesting.
And I remember seeing stuff on social media too. They actually were closed in April, detained by Homeland Security investigations agents because they had several employees who were in the country illegally. Mm-hmm. And 66-year-old Ming Chung, according to the forum here, charged with employing and shielding undocumented workers. The Giant Panda has been around for 30 years already. I like their food. We ate there occasionally. Mm-hmm. It looks like government prosecutors recommended she get two years probation and a $15,000 fine. But who knows? Unlikely that they will open again. She faced up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine, but they pleaded that down. So doesn't look like.
Well, they were probably like, well, why don't you just fine us $1 million? We don't have that money either. Mm.
Federal court.
Yeah.
Pleaded guilty. Employing people not authorized to live or work in the U.S. That's too bad. Like I said, they had really good food there, too. All right. TikTok.
It was authentic.
It was. TikTok framework deal reportedly reached. We'll talk about that and your money and markets coming up next. 7:57, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning after the trading week got off to a positive start yesterday with stocks closing higher on Wall Street. Stocks rose with the S&P 500 and tech-heavy NASDAQ climbing to all-time highs after President Trump said trade talks with China had been going well. Tesla shares jumped 7% at the close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 49 points. S&P 500 was up 30, and the NASDAQ rose 207 points.
The focus is on the Federal Reserve this week with the central bank widely expecting to cut interest rates. The Fed kicks off its two-day meeting in Washington, D.C. today with an announcement on a possible cut coming Wednesday. Also happening today, we'll get a look at the import price index for August along with the latest data on retail sales and home builder confidence index.
A deal to save TikTok in the U.S. is apparently almost done. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed there's a framework for a TikTok deal after trade talks between China and the U.S. took place in Madrid. He added that President Trump and the Chinese president will talk Friday to iron out details. TikTok's China-based owner ByteDance has until Wednesday to sell the popular social media app or possibly have it banned here in the U.S.
that date has always been pushed back. Anyway, Alphabet is now a member of the ultra elite $3 trillion club. Mm. Sales of the tech giant surged more than 4% on Monday, joining the ranks of Nvidia, Microsoft, and Apple. The $3 trillion milestone comes roughly 20 years after Google shares first went public and a decade after the creation of Alphabet as a holding company.
Mm, don't rule them out. Now, didn't our Bed Bath & Beyond that closed completely, right? Or is it still open in some form? That's the one, not the one in the mall, but that was the standalone one off 13th Avenue.
No, what's in the mall?
That's Bath and Body.
Bath and Body Works?
Yeah, not that. Bed Bath and Beyond.
Bed Bath and Beyond is now Ross. That's in that spot.
Okay. Well, yep. Bed Bath and Beyond, even though they didn't, you know, do well here locally and moved on, they are buying Kirkland's home name from the brand House Collective.
No, wait. Is that the Kirkland that's over by Dollar Tree or the Kirkland's brand from Costco? Because that's what always confuses me.
I didn't think about the Costco thing. I was thinking the like home decor place. Maybe that's because Bed Bath and Beyond is like similar.
Okay.
$10 million deal announced yesterday will convert existing Kirkland's home locations into Bed Bath and Beyond stores. The company has been attempting to rebuild after they declared bankruptcy in 2023. So maybe our Kirkland store will turn into a Bed Bath and Beyond.
Now that... Only $10 million? That doesn't seem like very much when it comes to buying out another brand such as, I mean, granted, maybe Kirkland's Home is not as big of a company as I maybe think it is, but that doesn't seem like a very large deal to take over those locations, so that's kind of interesting.
Still more money than you and I have.
Well, I mean, there's that. I didn't say that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a lot of money or not.
Hey, did you see that the Ford is moving its headquarters to a new location just down the road? New 2.1 million square foot building, they just showed it on TV a little while ago, Bonnie, will open in Dearborn, Michigan this fall. According to the automaker, it officially will be called Ford World Headquarters, which will accommodate some 14,000 employees on its sprawling campus, along with high-tech meeting rooms and offices. It will feature 6 design studios, a huge food hall, which is always important to me, and a wellness center. It will be more than double the size of its current headquarters, known as the Glass House, which has been in use for 70 years. So they're upgrading a lot.
You do need to upgrade and change. Otherwise, you'll go bye-bye with some of the other companies.
Hopefully. I would like to hear more about the food section of it. I'm just saying. No. Designing cars, yeah, sure. But what do you got for food there? You got some.
What are you going to go work for them? That's for people that work there. Not
I might
for
just
you.
Want to eat there. Do you ever think about that? If I'm in Dearborn, Michigan, be like, hey, let's go eat at the Ford cafeteria.
Well, you have fun with that.
All right.
We are WTAY Fargo. It is 8:01. Good morning. 8:04. Time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Well, we've got a few clouds out there this morning, but we'll see more sunshine as we head throughout the day. We'll call it mostly sunny. We're in the low 60s right now. We'll make it up into the mid-80s today with a light northwest wind, about 5 to 10. And then we'll see clear skies to start off the evening, and then we'll see a few clouds coming in late tonight, lows around 60. And we'll have increasing clouds throughout the day on Wednesday with highs in the mid-70s. We'll see rain spreading from the south Wednesday night. And then a rainy Thursday and Friday with highs around 70 both days. And again, we're getting very strong signals of 1 to 2 inches of rain across the area, most of the area. Now, the far northern valley in northwest Minnesota might escape the heaviest of the rain, but the rest of us getting a good soaking. And that rain will last into early Saturday. I know this is not good news for West Fest. I wish I had better news. Sorry, guys. And then conditions should improve by Saturday evening. And then Sunday, we'll see a little more sunshine. Temps over the weekend, right around 70. And then we'll start to warm things up next week. In fact, by the middle of next week, we're back in the 80s. So get out and enjoy today. It's not often you get 80s, mid-80s, low humidity, and light winds in September. Today's one of those top 10 days.
I think you're running out of top 10 days for the year.
Mm. We'll have a bottom 10 days coming up sooner than we know.
He's had 30 top 10 days this year so far, if you're keeping track at home.
Is it that many? I was never good at math.
Mathing is hard.
Do you know yet, like, how long fall is going to last or not?
We're going to see this nice weather through the end of the month. I mean, not 80s.
Well, that's realistic. What about through October? Come on, tell us more.
Well, the new LRC starts October 6th. We'll give you an idea after that. But I don't see any cold plunges, even in our long-term models, coming in. So,
nice.
I mean, we had our first, well, we didn't have a frost here, but many areas already saw their first frost. A widespread frost, I don't see it, even in our long-term models. So it's coming, don't worry, but. Yeah, we'll be dealing with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, we know.
We can't avoid it.
We know.
That's
where
why
we
I
live.
Say take advantage of these days, because they are few and far between from here on out.
All right, 8:06. It was on the state in entertainment history tomorrow. Controversy, a number of instances. We'll talk about it in Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. This band got banned from the Ed Sullivan Show after they violated an agreement they had with the show's producer. Also, video filmed for this group, naked professional models racing around on bicycles.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And a woman who became the first black contestant to be crowned Miss America stripped of her crown.
Oh,
but
no!
She went on to have a successful singing career. Yes. All that and more tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We do that every Monday through Friday, right around 6:56 here on Bonnie and Friends. 8:07, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:12, Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Head coach Kevin O'Connell held his Monday afternoon press conference, and during that, I let the public and local media know that J.J. McCarthy, a little bit sore from that high ankle sprain he sustained in that Sunday Night Football loss to the Atlanta Falcons, as he'll be going through the rehab process the next week or two with training staff. He took 11 quarterback hits, was sacked 6 times, just not a great outlook, at least short term for that. So ESPN's Adam Schefter, after that press conference, said that he had sources that were telling him 2 to 4 weeks is when the expectation is for McCarthy to miss with this high ankle sprain. So former North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz will be in line and expected to start in his absence here over whether it's a week or 4 weeks at this moment in time. 10-year veteran who has played for 6 teams over the past 6 seasons. His backup would be rookie quarterback Max Brosmer, the former Gopher quarterback. Vikings will host the Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at noon. Coverage available on CBS for that matchup. After that, the Vikings will head overseas to play in Week 4 in Dublin, Week 5 in London. Twins rode a 5-run seventh inning to a 7-0 victory over the New York Yankees on Monday night. Simeon Woods-Richardson struck out 11 batters over 6 scoreless innings, earning his 7th win of the year. Cody Funderburk, Travis Adams, Pearson Ohl, each with a shutout inning in relief. Austin Martin led the offense with 4 RBI. Brooks Lee hit a solo home run, his 15th of the year, while also picking up 2 RBI in the win. Luke Kuechel would add a run driven in additionally. Twins and Yankees continue that series tonight at 6:40 with Zebby Matthews on the mound for Minnesota. And tonight we're going to have primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will get you up to speed on the local sports scene. And then at 7 p.m., a battle in the EDC for volleyball, as we get into the really the kind of about a third of the way into the conference play portion here a couple of weeks in. West Fargo Horse will be hosting West Fargo High, 7 p.m. first serve. Jason and I on the call for that one. We're looking forward to it. And then the rest of the week, we're going to have Friday night Spud Football host Wyzetta at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. Cobber Football fresh off a bye at St. Olaf at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Our sister station, The Flag, will see number 2-ranked Shanley under the Friday night lights in football, take on Minot Friday evening at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, Dragon Football will host Wayne State at 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff with Jason and I on the call for that one. So a lot of athletics rolling again this week here on our family of stations.
I don't know if you guys talked about it, but I saw it floating around on social media. A Lego replica of U.S. Bank Stadium will soon be on display at U.S. Yep. Bank Stadium.
Yeah, kind of wild.
Yeah, and it looks like based on the article or the story yesterday, it was a fan that just made it themselves.
Yeah, like took 2 years to make it. How
from
many
scratch.
How
yeah.
many? How many little bricks or whatever?
I don't know how many bricks. I just know
oh,
that
gosh, it's got to be
when you see
2,000.
When you see it though, and for him to have just more or less eyeballed how to make it. I'm just amazed at how he was able to create it and create it so accurately, because it's got the point on it and he put the sticker on it for US Bank Stadium and stuff. It looks fantastic.
I bet.
You know.
I don't know if it's still like this, and I don't think it is, but when the Mall of America first opened, they had Legoland, which I think is still there.
Yeah.
But they had massive Lego structures there back in its early days. I don't know if they still have big structures like that.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there in a few years. Yeah. But I mean, I know when I was growing up,
we were there when the girls were younger, and I remember seeing it. We didn't buy anything. I mean, I know that
Legos have gotten expensive over
the years. Yeah, did you see the
Sets are on average, say, like $40, $50, $60 for just an average set.
Yeah, it's some of the Minecraft ones that Jaden and JC like, you know, those are expensive.
And they go up from there. I mean, yeah, they have thousands of dollars for some of them.
Well, they have a new set out now that costs about $1,000, and it's the Lego Death Star from Star Wars.
Mm.
The big round giant planet looking one. So they have that, but it's like almost $1,000, and I can't really justify buying that.
No, that's a lot of money.
Plus, I don't know if I have the time or the patience to put it together.
You've got to be a super fan.
I'll just have James put it together. He's not doing anything anyway.
My new son-in-law is into Star Wars. He's got R2-D2, and who's the other character?
Like C-3PO?
The
robot?
Yeah, it is C-3PO. Yeah, he has two of those that he built.
Out of Legos?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's a small collection.
How big is it? Like just a little small one?
Probably like maybe 10, 12 inches high or whatever. That's something pretty cool. Like that. Yeah. When we were over in Serbia, I think I told you guys, and your dad had asked something on my Facebook page, and I don't know if you saw the responses, but so my boys, Miloš, my son-in-law, and his brother-in-law, and then Dwayne and Logan, decided that they wanted to go to a big soccer match in England.
Right.
Was playing Serbia.
Okay, yeah.
So we were in Belgrade earlier in the day, and you could just see the people that came in from England. They're partying in the outside, you know.
The hooligans.
They don't really call them pubs, but bars there in Serbia or whatever, and they're getting rowdy already. Well, the boys went to the game, but we had two vehicles. So Miloš had rented one, and then his sister drove another one, but she's not real comfortable driving in traffic. And Belgrade is huge. It's millions of people. So the boys had to kind of like escort us out of town. Her husband drove. They got us to a gas station out of town. And then the boys had to come back into Belgrade to go to the match. So they didn't get there until late. They got there about 7 minutes before the game started. Well, somebody took their seats.
Aww.
So they had to stand in the back. They said they were like four people deep. People were jumping over fences to get in. Like people didn't even, the tickets weren't that much. I think they were like maybe $25 or something.
But they didn't
even
like hold your seat. Someone just takes them?
No, it just, it was basically a free for all. There were so many people. I think the stadium maybe held like 20, 30,000 or something like that.
I'm sure there's more than 20 or 30,000 would want to go to that match.
And smoking is huge over there. And they said they were standing there. People were just free for all smoking dope. They were smoking cigarettes. These guys can't even see. They are all huge sports fans.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a halftime or what you have.
Yes,
in soccer.
You have a halftime.
Okay, they left at halftime.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
They were all just, don't even ask. They didn't even want to talk about it. All three of them, or four of them, Matza was with two, but don't even ask us. We don't even want to talk about it. They were so disappointed. Well, like I said, the tickets weren't that much, but still, you pay for a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I
would be so irritated, because if I pay for, I get not anxious or irritated or anything, but the thought of somebody, because myself and my daughter, we only do half a season for Fargo Forest games.
Yeah.
If someone is in my seat, that is one of the most annoying things. Now, granted, we sit next to a couple that we've been sitting next to for the last, I don't know, 2-3 seasons, whatever it's been. And they know that we're going to sit there most times. And usually when we're at a game, like, are you guys coming tomorrow? Or when's the next game? And they'll know because sometimes they'll scoot over, because a lot of times our seats, I think to some extent, don't always get sold, maybe because of where we sit. But my pet peeve is that someone's in my seat, and then I gotta have to tell them, no, these are my seats, because I pay for those seats, and that's exactly where I want to sit.
Here in the States, that's the way it works. We usually have security.
J, center ice, just don't bother me then, you know?
Apparently it's a little different over in Serbia. Oh. And then I Googled, like, and it'll tell you, it was safe over there, like, don't get me wrong. We did encounter some of the protests in Miloš's hometown of Šabac, but he goes, it's safe. He goes, look at it. It's people of all age groups. There were mom and dads pushing strollers. There was grandmas and grandpas and great-grandmas and grandpas. And all they do is they stand in the middle of an intersection. So it's basically like a silent protest. Yeah. They're protesting the leader. They don't like him or whatever. Uh-huh. But in the bigger cities, they have bigger protests and you should always stay away from, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But another thing it said to stay away from is large sporting events like soccer matches. Of course, I didn't Google that to the boys that already left.
Exactly.
They were so mad and so disappointed.
That would be so disappointing because that would be so cool to see a big-time soccer match when you're in Europe.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like I said, part of it was their own fault because they wanted to drive us out of town so Danya could take over and driving us. So they got there late. And then, you know, had they gotten there, because his uncle and brother from uncle, which is a nephew, but they call it in Serbia, mm-hmm. it's called brother from uncle, they got there an hour and a half early. They actually got their seats. So those two had seats, but my crew of four didn't get seats just because that's...
They were late.
Yeah. Soccer fans, though, rushing to have a chance to buy tickets for next year's FIFA World Cup. Soccer's governing body says more than 2.5 million fans submitted applications for the Visa presale draw in the first 24 hours that the window opened. The highest demand has been from fans of the three host nations, U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Yep. No surprise, right?
Nope.
MetLife Stadium will host the final match of the 2026 FIFA World Cup on Sunday, July 19th, 2026.
In New York?
The byline here is East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah,
so
mean,
I'm going to guess that that's where it's at.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's East Rutherford, New Jersey. That's where the Jets and Giants play. That's the stadium. That's the stadium that, not necessarily the farthest north, that's the only open-air stadium in a cold-weather climate type of place that's hosted a Super Bowl. That's when the Broncos and Seahawks played, and the Seahawks beat the Broncos fairly easily that time with Peyton Manning at quarterback, I believe. But that's obviously a good stadium. It's a big stadium. They can fit a lot of people in there. But it's going to be cool. I guess my thinking is, and I've only been to like Cancun, I know that they're going to have some games in Mexico. I would assume that's probably Mexico City. I don't know if they're going to have anything in like Monterey or anything like that. But sometimes I wonder about the infrastructure for having a big time event like that in Mexico, because it seems as though they don't. It's, I don't know. It seems like it's pretty crowded down there and
might
stuff.
Might be a free for all in Serbia.
Well, not so much like that, but I mean, when they've had NFL games at that stadium, like Stadia Azteca or whatever the one is called down in Mexico City, I mean, that's like one of those college stadiums almost where they can fit like triple digits in there. Like they can fit 100,000 people in there to watch a match. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be across all three countries, et cetera. And of course, FIFA World Cup is a huge deal. For me as a sports fan, I hope the U.S. represents himself well, maybe gets out of the group stage and wins a match, maybe makes it to the quarterfinals or something.
Cool. I'll probably watch that. Soccer's not like a sport I've really gotten into over the years. My girls played when they were really little for a year, and then I told them they had to find a different sport because it was over at the Pepsi soccer fields up in North Fargo by the airport.
Which always windy and stuff,
And Logan was a toddler. He was probably a year and a half, too, and the kid would not sit still at that age to watch them play or whatever, so all we did was walk back and forth, and I got sick of chasing them around, so I told the girls, pick a different sport.
Yeah.
But soccer's huge. Soccer
is the world's most popular sport, although I know that, in a sense, basketball has made huge strides over the last several decades, ever since the Dream Team. You got better players coming out of Europe, etc. Basketball is very popular. Obviously, American football is very kind of niche when you look at it on a world stage, but it's popular for people to watch. So it's a big deal, and, you know, you just... The USA women's team can win world championships, but the men's team, not so much.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Hopefully they get better.
8:24, a chance for you to nominate a first responder who could win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Lee Bryce. This is going to be at Shields Arena on September 27th.
Yeah, and one lucky first responder will be selected thanks to Schmidt's Gyms of Fargo, your diamond destination. You can nominate or register yourself if you're a first responder online at WDAYRadioNow.com. Go scroll down about halfway down the page. You'll find a banner that says Lee Bryce Giveaway. Click on that. Submit your information or nominate somebody there. The winner is going to be selected on September 24th. So remember, that's a concert on September 27th at Shields Arena. Tickets to that event plus a meet and greet with Lee Bryce, and you'll probably get to meet his brother. I thought there was a mix-up on the ad. I didn't know his brother, Lewis Bryce, was also a singer, but he's also on the on the bill for that night.
I don't know who that is. I know who Lee Bryce is.
Well, he's got a brother named Lewis who's also a singer.
All right, there you go. 8:25, time to get to the American Ag Network. 8:28, Bonnie and Friends winding down. Coffee Club getting ready to go. Janae is here, and the diva not present and accounted for yet. And that's not Ronnie, because Ronnie's on vacation.
Oh, there's the diva.
He had to get his snacks first.
My name's Jay Thomas. I can walk in when I please.
And he's got his grapes.
He's got to move all Bonnie's crap out of the way.
He's sitting here complaining about me.
Get out of the way!
He found the double stuffed Oreos. I told you guys you better grab them.
I told you. They will be gone when we walk out. Don't worry about that.
I brought them cookies back from Serbia, but in my suitcase they got just smushed.
Like, all the way from Moorhead to all the way over from Moorhead Target, we got Oreos. So that's very
Jay,
European.
Did I hear you say yesterday, did Bonnie go to Siberia?
I couldn't remember what it was. Siberia. I knew it began with some S.
Close.
Or something.
You got
Serbia.
Similar letters.
Serbia, my
son-in-law's home country. So people, you'd be right at home there. Everybody it's fine. We can hear you. Everybody smokes like a chimney over there.
Perfect. I'd love it.
Still like flashback, roll the clocks back 25 years in the restaurants and everywhere.
Really?
Inside the restaurants.
That I couldn't handle.
Yeah. You realize it too, especially since we've been smoke-free around here for, 20 years?
A long time. It's been a while.
And you're eating in a restaurant and there's people like chain smoking right next to you. Yeah, it was kind of...
Oh, I remember you could choose to sit in smoking section or non-smoking section at the restaurants.
Which, they were just partitions that didn't even go all the way up when they started that garbage.
So did they have smoking sections and non-smoking? Oh, just wherever you are, you could light up?
For all, yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But you had a good time?
Yeah, it was.
Pictures I saw were beautiful.
It's good to be back, though. I like routine. I like my job.
Yeah, it's always good to be home.
Coming around here to
when did
you
come home?
Around. Friday night late. I don't usually boss you around, though.
No, you know better. That ain't going to work. You save it for those other knuckleheads.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you heard me. She kicks you around like a foster puppy, buddy.
Well.
A foster puppy?
Yeah,
a
foster puppy.
Red-headed step puppy?
Yeah, exactly.
Jace actually listens pretty good. It's Waisaki, who I should just throw my hands at.
There's no hope with that man.
No, that's true.
No. He's an unruly one, that Waisaki.
So you're going to be Ronnie through Wednesday then, huh?
Yeah.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
He is.
Lucky guy.
And then we'll do tag team, and then I get Thursday, Friday. So.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Have fun.
How was she yesterday?
Oh, God.
He's just trying to steer it down between
the white
lines, Bonnie. You just got to keep it out of the ditches.
I don't even know why I'm in here for 2.5 hours. She just gets on a roll and just doesn't shut it.
Yeah.
Just doesn't want to sit here by herself, that's
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
She does not like to be alone. I will verify that, yeah. What do you guys?
I have nobody to talk to then.
What? That's true. What do you? I just talked to myself. What are you guys doing on the show today?
I don't even listen to my show.
I don't know. Whatever Janae decides.
Different things.
Just as long as it doesn't tick John off.
The only
don't make John mad.
The only plan we got is a nonprofit day today. Thanks to Luther Family Ford. Garden of Healing is going to be in with us. Sarah and Arlen Fisher, they've got some new things going on over there.
And the rest
so.
Of the show will be like a train derailment. I've worked with him before.
Uh-huh. Actually, he was pretty good yesterday. Yes, we got
that's
to break
because
who
it was,
we should.
That's because it's day one of day three. Yeah. Of three.
Look out. The train is going off the track.
Bonnie and I get in here, we just take it over to whatever we want.
That's true.
Before when I've said, okay,
follow
Jay, here's the plan. He's taking the show and does that.
There you go. Well, stay tuned. Coffee Club with Janae and Jay straight ahead. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and Friends will be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great day. It's 8:32.